government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, September 27th, 2019. The deep state is behind this attempted coup on Trump. They're moving forward with the impeachment, whether they don't have any evidence or not, and they've already been proven to be involved in a giant hoax with the Ukraine situation. But Pelosi says they've got lots of reasons, and they want to have the articles forward for a vote by Thanksgiving. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They want to remove Trump in the next 4 to 5 months. This is explosive. We're going to break it all down. But first, this report.
We will not give them up. I think we have millions of owners who will not comply.
We are law-abiding, responsible gun owners. And please don't legislate the 150 million people just like me into being criminals. Like, it has happened. You've already done it. The legislation on bump stocks. I was a bump stock owner, and I had to make a decision. Do I become a felon, or do I comply? And like that gentleman that just got escorted out, I will not comply.
The hearing on so-called assault weapons drew a line in the sand. The Democrats want your president, they want you taxed to death, and they want your guns. Leading the charge, politicians who know little to nothing about firearms.
I've held an AR-15 in my hand, I wish I had it. It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving. And the bullet that is utilized, a 50 caliber, these kinds of bullets, need to be licensed and do not need to be on the streets.
Clearly define those characteristics that define an assault weapon, and assault weapons also include assault pistols and assault shotguns, then we'll be on much firmer footing.
And that would eliminate these weapons that we commonly refer to as assault weapons, and that can cause these mass casualties.
I would like to, you know, ask, you know, some of the people who support banning, quote, assault rifles to tell me, and you know, do you think that hunting rifles ought to be banned?
I believe any weapon that can be used to hunt individuals should be banned.
You said that anything used to hunt people should be banned. Is that correct?
Any weapon that can be used to hunt individuals should be banned.
Okay, so you then stand for the proposition to ban any type of firearm, because any type of firearm could be used to misuse and kill people.
As I stated before, with law enforcement in particular, there is a social contract that we have.
I'm asking, based on your statement, you said that anything used to hunt people should be banned. That's what you stated. You just said all, so I'm clarifying, your statement today is that all firearms, because they can be used to hunt people, should be banned. That's your statement before this committee.
So that is not my statement. So you haven't clarified my statement, sir. You've just added a statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I don't necessarily profess to be an expert in hunting varmint, but my general sense is that if you're hitting them with an AK-15, you're not hunting them, you're killing them. And that's the only purpose of doing it.
Larry Elder, writing for Real Clear Politics, asks, how many are saved every year by guns? Almost all national survey estimates indicate that defensive gun uses by victims are at least as common as offensive uses by criminals, with estimates of annual uses ranging from about 500,000 to more than 3 million per year. 20 years ago, economist John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, wrote, "We find that allowing citizens to carry concealed weapons deters, and it appears to produce no increase in accidental deaths. If those states which did not have right to carry concealed gun provisions had adopted them back in 1992, approximately 1,570 murders, 4,177 rapes, and over 60,000 aggravated assaults would have been avoided yearly." The Democrats lean on totalitarianism as a solution to increase their own power and control, which is why we need to protect our Second Amendment rights now more than ever. John Bound reporting.
I miss Long Beach and I miss you, babe. I miss dancing with you the most of all. I miss the bar where the Beach Boys would go. Dennis's last stop before Kokomo. Those nights were on fire, we couldn't get higher. We didn't know that we had it all, but nobody wants to before the fall.
Worldwide on this Friday, already 27th day of September 2019. I'm going to be here for the next 4 hours live. We've got Nick Baggett joining us. We have constitutional lawyer Robert Barnes in the studio. We also have famous criminal and First Amendment lawyer, civil rights lawyer Norm Pattis joining us, because there was a public interest appeal at the Supreme Court of Connecticut yesterday, dealing with the railroading that I am enjoying with the Democratic Party law firm there in Connecticut. And it was pretty explosive, pretty powerful statements, the kind of stuff you see in movies, not the stuff you usually see in courtrooms. So this is pretty dramatic stuff. We're going to look at that coming up at the bottom of the hour, play some of those clips from inside the Supreme Court there in Connecticut. And then we're going to obviously move into the whole attempt to remove Trump from office. It has been announced that the Democrats want to bring forward articles of impeachment one way or another by Thanksgiving. And they would like to have already had a vote and President Trump removed from office by Christmas as a present to the American people. These are all statements that have been made. Hillary Clinton has come out and called Trump a clear and present danger to the country. This is because he is rolling up the CHICOM spy grid that had taken control of the U.S. He is ending our economic surrender to China and the globalist combine. And the actual traders are very, very upset that their gravy train is in danger. And so a secret agent man from the CIA inside the White House is the whistleblower that heard this, not secondhand, but of course, third hand, ladies and gentlemen, that the president had done quid pro quo. I'll give you this if you give me that. None of it's true. They released the transcript, but that didn't stop the head of the committee, Mr. BSer Schiff, to read in his opening statement a fake transcript and only later admit that it was a fake transcript. And that didn't stop people like good old Joe Scarborough from tweeting out another fake transcript. And it's all being done on purpose. It's all being done just to confuse everybody and to put all this mud up into the atmosphere and into the air, because they never get held accountable. These criminals do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. Shock and awe, Democrats are rushing to have articles of impeachment ready for a vote around Thanksgiving. Complaint in hand, Democrats aim for a fast and focused impeachment inquiry. They want the articles by Thanksgiving. Trump says Schiff must resign and be investigated for reading a fake transcript of Trump's conversation with the Ukrainian president. Schiff's retelling of Trump phone call with Ukraine head gets mocked as unhinged orange man bad fan fiction. Again, these stories are all up on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. Moron psycho Joe Scarborough tweets satire Trump Ukraine transcript as if it's real. Meanwhile, Dossier 2.0 whistleblower complaint relies on Soros-funded investigative reporting, close quote, group that partnered with BuzzFeed on Pissgate. Trump properly warns that if they impeach him or try to remove him from office, it could cause a stock market crash. Meanwhile, shocked new survey finds Americans are completely unprepared for a recession or a depression. But that's okay. report. Hundreds of documents conflict with Joe Biden's account of why Ukraine prosecutor was fired. Hell, he's on TV saying, if you don't fire him, I'll keep $1 billion back. That's totally illegal, regardless of why they removed him. Let's see, when you piss in our face in plain view and it's open and shut case, then you don't get in trouble. But when it's made up about Trump, it's all breathless. We got to get him right now. So this is a complete charade. You've got Omar and AOC running around foaming at the mouth, so happy all this is going on. But you've got Democrat privilege. 2 months after Hunter Biden discharged from the Navy for cocaine use, he's put on board of largest oil and gas company in Ukraine to funnel money back to Daddy Mitt Romney's folks and everybody else. But then you've got the Trump support treatment. Corrupt judge Amy Berman, that's Obama's hanging judge, Jackson bars Roger Stone defense from trying the case to Russian hackers. They admitted in court there's no evidence of any Russian hackers of the DNC. It's made up, like Kavanaugh raping women. It's all made up. In a big article in the Washington Times, Trump's earliest GOP backers fall on hard times. And it gets into how everybody gets arrested, indicted, bankrupted, sued. I'm not a victim, but I'm left out of the article. Meanwhile, the Kremlin's come out and said something really important. They said, we thought there's executive privilege. We thought our phone calls with the president are private. I mean, we're not releasing phone calls from Nancy Pelosi. So we're not going to talk to Trump on the phone if it's just released to the public. That's private conversations. Presidents should be able to talk to each other. You know, privacy? So you can really have discussions? But see, the idea of Trump having any diplomacy or any detente or any communication is illegal, you see. Hell, if he's in public and shakes Putin's hand at a G20 or G8, oh my gosh, you see the treason. They're trying to paralyze the president. So we're going to be looking at all that today in great detail. So many incredible clips we're going to be getting to. Now, I've got some very important big tech news I haven't hit that we're going to cover when we return, and so much more. And we are also going to dissect the latest military activities that are very important in the Middle East. Also, military sees frustrating trend of suicide spikes above the already record numbers. Now it's spiked even more than that. We're going to go to break and come back and plow into why we're seeing societal decline so quickly. Because we've removed God from things. And just like removing oxygen from the equation, death follows. When we come back, we'll hit it all. First, ladies and gentlemen, though, please remember that we're listener-supported, and the only way we're here is thanks to you, so thank you first. And please spread the word about the local radio stations and TV stations where you find us. Those are really precious affiliates we're very, very thankful for. And when you do the word of mouth, they always become number one in the ratings within about a year. And we're seeing that all over the country. It's very, very exciting. We're now number one on Cloud TV for about a year since we got on there. And now we're bigger than all the news programs combined. We were told by the owner of it. So that's very exciting. Thanks to you spreading the word. And remember, though, we need to stay on air with the globalists coming after us, and selling products is how we do it. Plus, these are great products you need anyways. So Black Friday's come 2 months early. In late September, we can only run it till maybe the middle of next week. We've already sold out of things like DNA Force Plus and others. We're very close to selling out of X3 and X2. We're very close to selling out of Bodies, Ultimate Dermic Formula. We're very close to selling out of Turbo Force and a lot of these best-selling products. We'll have to end that special here a few days after Sunday. It's store-wide free shipping, 50% off all the great supplements, double Patriot points on your next order, 10 cents on the dollar instead of 5 cents on the dollar, and an additional 10% off for anybody that signs up for auto ship. For things you're going to want to reorder, like Wake Up America coffee, that I think is one of the best coffees out there. Folks love it. The fluoride-free toothpaste, fortified with iodine, colloidal silver, super blue. So you can get it 50% off right now with free shipping. That's very close to cost. And then get an additional 10% off on your next order and lock that in. So again, thank you all for your support. Plus, these are great items you need. The krill oil, the fish oil, the sleep aid, knockout. They're all game-changing, amazing products, just like our information warfare based on truth is. So InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And don't forget, all of the preparedness items are 50% off as well.
I'm gone. I'm gonna cross that river, I'm gonna catch tomorrow night. You're gonna wanna hold me, just like I always told you. You're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Nobody here will ever find me, but I will always be around. Just like the songs I leave behind me, I'm gonna live forever now.
Now here's the key.
You fathers and you mothers, be good to one another. Please try to raise your children right. Don't let the darkness take them. Don't make them feel forsaken. Just lead them safely to the light.
Don't let the darkness take them. Don't let them feel forsaken. Everybody always knew the darkness comes to try to take your children. But Dr. Spock and all the leftist armies in the 50s and 60s told us, let your children be who they want to be. Don't teach them anything. Let the television raise them. And now NAMBLA is in the schools. Now even conservatives adopt whatever language we're told and whatever we're given. We don't call illegal aliens illegals anymore. We call them migrants, and then under the UN treaty, they're allowed to come and get everything free. Even the Blaze and Breitbart. I'm not even putting them down. Go along and use the terms we're given.
I'm gonna cross that river.
Puberty-blocking drugs used to treat gender dysphoria in kids linked to thousands of deaths. Now, that's a good article exposing it's killing a bunch of people. But, you know, chopping your genitals off or taking chemicals to block it because people abused you and confused you in the school and gave you attention because you bought into it. More than half of them are mentally retarded or autistic. That's on record. That's called child abuse. That's called mind control. That's called sterilization. That's called experimentation. But if you call it gender dysphoria, hell, if you kidnap a woman, maybe out of her car, and rape her, give it some fancy name. Maybe call her confusion and fighting back a disease. Then it'd be okay, right? Don't let the darkness take them. Don't let them feel forsaken. They need to know you're there for them. That you'll kill for your children if you have to. You're ready to. They need to feel that. It's like a rock. They know it's there. First they break up the families, though. The women are all alone. And the waves of corruption and drugs and culture come crashing in. And then the gang members are there. And the criminal groups are there. And the leftist cults are there. Targeting the nerds. Targeting the Aspergers. Targeting the autistic. And giving them a library book when they're in fourth grade. About the love you're going to find. It's going to be getting in the car with that man. He's going to pull your pants down. He's going to suck you off. And you're going to be a big boy now. And, you know, we're on a lot of Christian stations, but they know I'm not a Pharisee. People are like, that's pretty shocking to say that. Well, they're teaching kids in elementary school that right now. They have known killers, convicted murderers, that have TV shows with little kids that dance half naked in front of men. Put them on screen right now if you're a TV viewer. It's praised on ABC and NBC and CBS as a wonderful thing. And they've got books in children's schools from Australia to the U.S. teaching children with hardcore literature, if you call it that, about people who were abused as children and how great it was. And again, 3 years ago and 2 years ago, the Boy Scout Jamboree, the leftist handed out 10,000 condoms to people as young as 10 years old, and they wondered why there's hundreds of lawsuits now and diseases and kids got HIV. And you're like, that's crazy. Why would they do it? Because it's a religious rite of Satanism to corrupt children, like a boarding party, a ship slamming in to another ship and pirates pouring off. They mean to take down the Boy Scouts. They mean to take down the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church and the Orthodox Church and the universities. These are cults that seek power to defile and ruin and steal the life force of children and to wreck their trajectory. Because a child fired by their parents and by the community, it's supposedly the real community, not the system, not the corporate evil, but the real community that's gone. Where are the barbecues? Where are the neighbors looking out for each other? Where are the farming communities? Where is it? It's all gone. That's like setting a arrow to your bow, pulling back, and then releasing. And when you release that arrow properly done, the trajectory of life is true and strong and productive and hits the bullseye. But if they can get into those children when they're little and put the dyes in the food and the vaccines with the adjuvants and hurt them and twist them and then program them, they'll never know what hit them. Don't let the darkness take them. Don't let them feel forsaken. Well, that's exactly what's happening now. Daily Wire got it right with their headline. Puberty-blocking chemicals kill thousands. Not puberty-blocking drugs used to treat gender dysphoria in kids linked to thousands of deaths. Hey, why don't we just give what Hitler did a medical name? That'll make it okay. So, military sees frustrating trend as suicide spike already, AP reports, above the previous record. And they go up and up and up and up and up. And then 24 veterans kill themselves every day. That number's up. Don't let the darkness take them. Don't let them feel forsaken. Because when you don't feel like you're part of a community and doing good, and you don't feel like you have any worth, you kill yourself. Especially white males and veterans and police are told they're crap, they're evil, they're trash. They know it's not true. They're put on psychotropic drugs that kill you, that make you commit suicide, that make you lose your connection to God. What all these people need to do is go out and help others and decide the enemy, the globalist, trying to program you to kill yourself, whether you're a young person, an old person, a veteran, doesn't matter, that you're not going to let them win. And instead of feeling empty because the war is over and it's all over for the unknown soldier, bullet strikes the helmet's head. It's all over for the unknown soldier. But it's not over. The fight's now against the globalists trying to take our free speech and trying to take our Second Amendment and trying to overthrow our elected president and trying to drive us into submission. And so instead of running from that weight, we need to lean into it and get stronger as we fight. And then we won't want to commit suicide. We want to live for as long as possible to fight and resist and be strong. And we're going to do it. We're going to defeat these Satanists. Their will is not as strong as ours, and they know it. The following report is a lot bigger than Alex Jones, yours truly, or InfoWars. It's about a fight to remove the First Amendment. The very same law firm that successfully bankrupted
The Alex Jones Show. Because there is a war on for your mind.
The same law firm that successfully bankrupted Remington now has its sights on me, the most powerful law firm in Connecticut, has its fangs and its claws out, licking its lips. And even in front of the Supreme Court of the state yesterday, they kept saying, well, you can't violate his free speech, right? You want us to throw back this appeal saying he didn't do what he was supposed to on discovery. Koskoff of Koskoff and Koskoff said, no, it's his speech. It's not protected. He's a bad man. They actually said that. You know, that doesn't make sense. That's unconstitutional. That's the goal. Overturn it all while getting awards for being a constitutionalist at the same time. That's the sick joke. Here's the local Fox report, and we'll talk to Norm Pattis, who gave the oral argument on my behalf.
Right now, Sandy Hook families are taking on Alex Jones at the state's highest court. Jones didn't appear in court today, but the families did, as the free speech case against the controversial conspiracy theorist took another twisted turn. Fox 61's Matt Caron live outside of the state Supreme Court with an update. Matt.
Well, today, Alex Jones's attorney, Norm Pattis, argued that Bridgeport trial judge Barbara Bellis's decision to sanction Jones for his recent comments was unwarranted.
The First Amendment on trial.
And they say, that's me! He threatened me!
The Honorable Supreme Court of the state of Connecticut is now open.
The state's highest court heard arguments in the defamation lawsuit brought by Sandy Hook family members against conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who for years said the school massacre was a hoax.
Alex Jones speaks in the vein of conspiracy theorists, as conspiracy theorists have spoken in this country since the founding.
Thursday's arguments centering around alleged threats Jones made on his InfoWars internet broadcast against Sandy Hook family attorney Chris Maddie.
We addressed it by enhancing some security around our office.
There was no threat here. Chris Maddie's no wallflower.
Whatever we've had to deal with, either me personally or as a firm, pales in comparison to the abuse that he unleashed on the people standing behind me.
Those Sandy Hook family members declined to speak. Inside the court, Maddie's counterpart, Joshua Koskov's spirited exchange with Justice Stephen Ecker.
This case is a loaded case. Your firm brought the case against a known conspiracy theorist with a big microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew that when you did that, you were getting into a war.
The court is implying that we have to accept that if you want to bring a case against somebody that is, you believe is worthy of bringing a case against and it has done an injustice to you, you better think twice, because you have to accept that we, as the court, are going to treat that person differently because you got what you asked for. And that is the implication. And it, in fact, a court should do the opposite.
Jones made his comments following the discovery that child porn was attached to emails sent from Jones to Sandy Hook family attorneys as part of the evidence discovery process.
Whoever was responsible for that child pornography, he'd like to see that person's head on a pike. That is hyperbole, much like...
Now, the justices made no ruling today, but the trial court judge did previously rule that Jones and Pattis stonewalled the court and the defense by not producing evidence documents and handing them over. Pattis, meanwhile, is arguing that they did produce 57,000 emails.
All right, we're going to talk about this a little bit in the next hour. Then I get into all the big impeachment news, the military news. The economy news, and just the incredible state this country's in. But you have to understand, everyone that supported President Trump in his initial run in 2015, 2016, has been either put in prison, or they've tried to put him in prison, or they've been sued dozens of times. They have been bankrupted. They've been attacked. That's all over the news. And that's what this is. And the Sandy Hook parents, God bless them, they go on the news all the time and say, he's attacking us. He's coming after us. He won't stop sending people to our houses. One of the women I sued 2 days ago, running for Congress in Massachusetts, she says that I said, kill the Sandy Hook kids. So they're just escalating this when I barely ever hardly even talked about it. Plus, it's free speech. So that's how they got me deplatformed. And it's the Democrats damaging me with this, using kids as a human shield, like Greta Thunberg, to do that. And so we have some astounding clips from the 2 hours of oral argument in the court. The court was going to rule, but then said, no, we can't rule. That was pretty ominous for the other side. But this is a big deal. This is a big deal for the First Amendment. And when you read what they're saying and what they're doing, they're really trying to overturn the First Amendment. Even NPR had a big report on that on Monday, saying, well, the First Amendment's in trouble in this country. Well, yeah. And the left is leading the charge to get rid of it. So one of the most famous First Amendment lawyers in the country, Norm Pattis, joins us now to talk about what he witnessed yesterday. We're going to play some of these really intriguing clips that it's a lot better than the stuff you usually see on court TV back when it was around. Norm, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alex. So yesterday was a very significant day. We argued that whatever speech you uttered against Mr. Maddie was not defamatory. It was not a threat. It was vigorous, angry speech by a person, namely you, who was aggrieved and had suspicions. The Sandy Hook lawyers shocked me. At one point, they stood in front of the court and said, Alex Jones is a bad man, as though somehow their opinion of your moral worth, if that's what they meant by that, warranted or justified silencing your speech. At one point, I stood in front of the court. I said, I would rather stand beside Alex Jones in just about any dispute than next to some officious intermeddler who's acting as a censor. So But I think the court heard that. It was a difficult argument. We were set to be there only for an hour. All the justices had a lot of questions. It's what lawyers call a hot panel. You know, we are waiting for a decision. It could come out this afternoon. It could come out weeks from now. In my view, there's no dispute on this record that Judge Bellis was animated. And the other side admitted it. Koskoff admitted it. That Judge Bellis was animated in part by her distaste and revulsion and disgust at your speech. That is not an adequate grounds to raise a discovery sanction. And it is a chilling, chilling, chilling attack on the First Amendment.
When are we going to get a ruling on this?
You know, it could. It was interesting yesterday. My general practice is the minute the gavel pounds ending the proceedings, I pack my briefcase up and run out the door. Nothing good ever happens in a courtroom. So I was packing up to go, and the Chief Justice looked at me and said, "You may want to stick around. We may have something in 20 minutes." And I looked at him as though to say, "Really?" And he nodded. So I went and waited in the lobby. 20 minutes later, a clerk came out to say, "We're not going to have anything today." I've been watching the docket sheets all morning to see if there's going to be a decision. My read on the court is it's going to be a close call. We're likely to get a 4-3 or 5-2 ruling. I don't think it'll be unanimous. And I really can't tell which way it goes. One of the justices, Justice McDonald, seemed fairly hostile to our cause. Justice Kahn has been very difficult on First Amendment issues over the years. On the other hand, Justice Ecker seemed to understand. Justice Mullen got it. Justice Robinson is a rule of law man who cares about respect for the law. So, I think we've got a shot. And I'm very, very much hoping that we can get this case remanded and give you an opportunity to argue your motion to dismiss, because the court at one point turned to me and said, you know, what would be the harm if we denied this, you know, if Mr. Jones just went to regular litigation? And I said, the whole point of the so-called anti-SLAPP statute is to protect plaintiffs, or defendants rather, against the crippling cost of litigation for frivolous claims. And this is a fundamentally frivolous claim. Koskoff's CUTPA, Connecticut Unfair Trade Practice Act, has no support in existing law. They are basically saying that you engage in speech they find to be offensive, or their clients do at least, and you also sell products. Therefore, that's an unfair trade practice. Does that mean that we should sue the New York Times when they sell their tchotchka on their pages around the holiday, globes and maps and so forth, because we don't like the editorial policy? It is a ridiculous and dangerous precedent. This suit is, I could not be prouder to stand behind you and in.
Well, it's everybody's fight. We're going to play some of these truly amazing clips. This is like something out of a movie, out of A Few Good Men. When we come back on the other side, and I want to make something clear to Koskoff and the world, and they know this. We're not holding anything back on Discovery. We gave them, I thought it was 60-something thousand emails. Anything with all these search terms in it. They're demanding things that don't exist from us. Where's the marketing on Sandy Hook? Hey, you're the guys that make a living off Sandy Hook, not me.
Yeah, here's our new single record from Highwayman 2 album, Silver Stallion.
I'm gonna steal me a silver stallion.
We're back live.
With not a mark.
I'm your host, Alex Jones. Norm Pattis is here, and there's so many of these clips. There's hours of this. We're still digging around towards the last 10 minutes. We're going to get you that clip where they actually say, well, he's a bad guy. He doesn't deserve speech. We're going to get you that clip right now. But let's start getting to some of these clips. Let's go to clip 7. This is the Democratic Party top law firm in the state, openly that's already bankrupted Remington, up there saying, A, that I haven't given them discovery. I want to explain something. The judge keeps saying, we want the Sandy Hook marketing. There is no Sandy Hook marketing. We hardly ever talked about it. I don't live this. I'm not running for Congress like the Sandy Hook parents. I'm not running charities. I haven't raised millions of dollars. Hillary Clinton looked at my whole life and said, he looks weak on Sandy Hook because he used to have people on saying it didn't happen. Now he says it happened years later. Let's pin it on him. Let's say it's his whole life. And then it's their whole life. This Koskoff law firm, these people, and the families are all fighting with each other over money and who gets it and the Bloomberg cash. And then they keep saying, Jones lives off us. And then they force me to talk about him. But this is how the left operates. It's just not true. And I hear the families on the news going, he just won't stop coming after us. He's sending people to our houses. Help us, help us, help us. I never did any of that. So it's really something else. And it's very, very dangerous. So here's a clip of, you can't rely on anything Jones says.
Within that week, right, because the hearing, the broadcast was on the 14th, and he's waving the Google Analytics, obviously not knowing, I mean, light most favorable
how
to him.
How clear is this what he has? I mean, because wasn't there some issue about it's out with a vendor and the vendor?
Well, it's only not clear because Alex Jones said it, and it's hard to rely on anything
he
says.
Well, but you're relying on it. You're relying on that it's clear.
Just amazing. Let's go to clip number one. Here's Norm Pattis speaking about hate speech. Oh, we say it's hate speech, so magically there's no free speech there. This is how they got rid of free speech in Europe and the UK and Canada.
I've been watching the campus speech cases for a number of years, and I think I've argued Parnov and Taupier here. And it's my view that the courts are perilously close to adopting something like the pornography standard for hate speech, that they're going to say, we don't know what impermissible hate speech is, but when it lacks any serious artistic, literary value, or in this case, political value, and it's just a rant and it's frightening, we're going to prohibit it. And we're going to, by stroke of a pen, create a hate speech exception to the First Amendment. I think that is a terrifying prospect to me, and it's what makes this case, in my view, so critically important. Alex Jones speaks in the vein of conspiracy theorists, as conspiracy theorists have spoken in this country since the founding. Take your dollar bill out and look at the symbolism behind it. Read literally the allegations in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, they're saying the king is conspiring to take our rights. A conspiracy is two people meeting and agreeing to do something nefarious in a plan. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people charged federally every year with conspiracy to commit this, conspiracy to commit that, Norm.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is we live in a world with billions of other people. It's hard to come up with explanations. Nothing is as simple as it appears. And we have the right to connect dots in ways that make sense to us. One of the things I've enjoyed about getting to know you and getting to know your show is you have a number of sources and you take risks that other people are afraid to take. Every now and then you'll say something, I'm not sure I understand it, but I know it's worth looking at. And I know that you didn't create your viewership. Your viewers come to you because there's a crisis of legitimacy in this country. Pluralism has run its course. And now we are a nation of pots saying to the potter, why makest me thus? And the center has fallen out. I think you have every right to look for the center or a new center. I think your viewers and listeners come to you for that. I think that's why Donald Trump got elected. Now, people may say, oh, we don't like the message. It's this, it's that. You don't kill the messenger. You argue it. You debate it. The critical question isn't why do we have Alex Jones? Why do we have Donald Trump? Why do we have this? Why do we have that? The critical question is, if you don't like it, but people are drawn to it, maybe you should be asking yourself questions about your own speech. What are you missing?
Well, exactly. But let's take Adam Schiff, the head of the Intelligence Committee. He just came out and read a fake transcript of the president and didn't tell people till later it was fake in a giant criminal hoax. But he's protected because he has the congressional immunity. I mean, that's a conspiracy right there. There is a conspiracy by the Democrats to make something up on Trump. The whole Russiagate, it turned out, was paid for and made up and a fraud. That's a conspiracy to defraud the voters of who we elected. So the idea that this law firm doesn't want us to be able to ask questions when so much of what we first broke from Epstein to fluoride in the water has been or fake WMDs in Iraq. I said that was made up. It was made up by the Office of Special Plans. So, I mean, people are crazy if they just believe what they're told. But this idea now by the Democrats to throw away the First Amendment, to throw away the press, is very dangerous.
It is, and you mentioned the European example. I mean, in Europe, you have to be careful what you say, because if it offends someone, it could be a crime. Offensive speech is criminalized. We've never criminalized offensive speech in the United States. And the reason we've not done so is there needs to be someone who determines what is and is not offensive. That person is the censor. I do not want a censor in my life.
That's called a king. That's called a lord. And we set this country up to get away from that.
Absolutely. And that's what makes your case the fight of the century, at least in terms of the First Amendment.
And by the way, you're not just saying that. That's what the law journals are saying. That's what, I mean, and the justices say that. Let's go to clip two. Court defends protected speech. Here it is.
This, we were looking for this data for a long time.
And so this is a change. He failed to comply. He came to the 18th hearing. Now, that was after the broadcast. And he didn't bring the Google Analytics that he had for TV. So the judge was absolute. She would have been, first of all, we're talking about an abuse of discretion. We all recognize that. And I think we go back to where we started with Justice McDonald implicitly identifying the trial court is in the best position to know whether the compliance has been met. They know the ins and outs. They know whether they know the degree to which compliance is either just barely substantial or really substantial. We defer to them.
But if we were to find that Mr. Jones' statements were protected speech, could we even get there?
I want to be clear for Mr. Koskoff here again. I showed Google Analytics how many times Sandy Hook was on the website. It was like 0.2. That I can put in the term. They were asking for the Google Analytics. That's like saying, I want the internet. You just go into this interface and we don't even know how it works. You've been here and tried to figure it out. It's a whole bunch. And most of it you've got to pay for. And so we saw what they did with our emails. They got 60-something thousand emails, not 50,000. Then they data mined and scanned it and found hidden code of child porn someone had sent us right after they filed suit on us. And then that was put out to the press that we sent child porn to the families when they subpoenaed emails we never opened. We gave them to them. They scanned them, found it, and then told the press we sent child porn in an attempt to damage us. I mean, it's just incredible, Norm.
Well, it is. And what's more, one of the underreported parts of the argument is we claim that there were due process violations, that in the hearing on the 18th, when you were sanctioned, you were not given notice and a meaningful opportunity to be heard. There are two very, very important factual inaccuracies in what Mr. Koskoff said to the Supreme Court. The night before the 18th, the 17th, at 7:56, we tried to email them a great deal of Google Analytic material that your office worked with me to identify. I don't have any indication that they ever opened that email. What's more, an associate of my office appeared in court on the morning of the 18th and tried to hand them a thumb drive, and they said, no, we don't want it. So, these are facts that would be developed at an evidentiary hearing. But, you know, the judge, in our view, shot first and didn't even ask questions later. She refused to ask questions. And she refused to ask questions because she was animated in substantial part by the speech that you engaged in.
And you were telling me you've never seen a judge. I mean, they're asking for everything so they can hand it over to the Democratic Party, basically, in my view. Here is the judge at the Supreme Court.
If they wanted to find out, hey, what part of this decision is based on the discovery issues and what part is based on the First Amendment, there is nothing preventing them from doing
that.
And that is
a mixed motive situation, though. And I think, that's an important point. I mean, if an employer, for example, you know, says you're fired because you're incompetent and you're fired because of your gender, the court won't say, well, those are independent at all. In fact, to the contrary, you can't have. And here, what's a little different is this isn't a court just issuing an order. The claim is that the court itself, as the Chief Justice pointed out, was the equivalent of the employer. It was the unconstitutional actor. It was doing something that was unconstitutional if the defendants are right. That is, it was violating First Amendment rights. And so when there are two reasons, in a mixed motive analysis, I think under Mount Healthy in those cases, if the unconstitutional motive is in there, then you lose.
We'll be right back with more on the other side. Then we'll cover geopolitical developments.
From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I feel like I'm back in the trial court listening to a parade of horribles over the ordinary over and over and over again. You get a snapshot of what the trial court proceedings were like. Alex Jones is notoriously bad. He needs to be silenced. There was no threat here. Chris Maddie's no wallflower. He's a former United States attorney who tangled with a governor and put him
in
prison.
Would you describe it as defamatory, Mr. Patterson?
No, he didn't. No. He raised, as he put it himself,
I learned of this on a particular day, lo and behold, just days after I had been notified by this young man. And this is a firm, whenever they file a pleadings, they're on CNN the next morning with their allegations reported as fact. They picked this fight. Let's be real about that. In 2012, Sandy Hook occurred. Let me finish, Justice Palmer. They waited until 2018.
Well, I'm just asking, it was defamatory.
They waited till 2018 to file the suit. Why? And then they file a highly creative piece of litigation that seeks to transform CUTPA into a restriction on speech. This is no claim about a defective product. This is an attempt to silence the man because of the character of his speech.
Mr. Pattis.
Let's be clear. They say in these lawsuits in Texas and Connecticut that my empire, as they call it, is made off Sandy Hook. That is a hoax. That is a lie. Their empires, they run for office, they live off this, they sue Remington, they sue the school, they sue the hero teacher. That's what they do. They eat, drink, and sleep Sandy Hook. And then they come here and then say, I'm Mr. Sandy Hook, make me deal with it, and then say, give us the documents, your marketing plan on Sandy Hook. Norm Pattis, I really appreciate you. There's a lot of other clips. I know that you like the job that... Robert Barnes did last night on the War Room covering it. That's posted at band.video. He did do a great job. But just closing comments about where you see all this going, because a lot of people have been celebrating. He's already on appeal at the Supreme Court. That means he'll be shut down. No. To everybody out there drooling, hoping we get shut down. This is before we ever even have a trial or even this is years away. This is the court coming in and getting involved because it looks like a train wreck to them. It looks like something shouldn't be happening. This is a good thing that they took this up to the Supreme Court, and very rare. Correct, Norm?
Correct. We asked for this appeal because we thought your rights had been violated. The court said, wow, we need to hear about this, and they listened to our arguments. This is about the bottom of the first or second inning. There's a long way to go. The litigation isn't going to end as a result of this trip to the Supreme Court. I predict we'll have one or two more before it's done. We're in it to win it. And no matter how long it takes.
I know you're personally shocked. A lot of other lawyers I talk to, like I've got, you know, good family friends that are lawyers, prominent ones. Some of them are Democrats, and they can't believe there's this big an attack on the First Amendment. They read these suits and just say they've never seen anything like it.
I don't understand that. That's why I worry so much about a hate speech restriction. You know, you've been deplatformed and you've been made into a scapegoat. And so they're trying out arguments on somebody they regard as quote unquote extreme, on the theory that they can be sold. If those arguments are sold in your case, they'll be applied to others on an incremental basis until in the end, we've got a 51st star on the flag, and that's for the Republic of PC, which is what they want to do. I do not want to live in that republic, and what's more, I will not.
Norm, now you've got all of these Democrat publications getting sued and losing too. And I mean, this just seems like a suicidal war on all sides, like a circular firing squad.
Well, I think that we've got a problem in the country. I think pluralism is run riot. We don't have common conceptions. You know, Cicero once said a republic was not just any collection of human beings, but people bound together with common interests and common conceptions of right. We're afraid to talk about good and evil. As you point out, we're afraid to talk about God. We glorify every identity, and we celebrate difference as though difference were an end in itself. The end to that is the bottom falling out of pluralism and social chaos. And so right now, we don't have people actually arguing about what a good life is. What are the attributes of a good human being? Because to talk about the attributes of a good life or a good human being might offend somebody who's not living that. If we have lost the courage, not just of our convictions, but to have convictions, then we're serious.
That's right. It's really the end of what founded this country. It's the death of America. Thank you, Norm.
Yep. Thank you, Alex.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Chaos is hanging around.
At the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into new developments in the third attempted deep state coup against President Trump. And the developments are stunning. I mean, there's no way to hype this up as big as it is and as dangerous as it is. And if you study history, the people living in the really big historical events normally don't realize they're in them until it's almost over or over. And I am a lay historian. I mean, I'm really into history and the way people operate, the things that have happened, because I found out as a very young person who liked comic books and science fiction and was a voracious reader. I mean, I was a Chad, I was a jock, but I also hung out with the heavy metal kids and the goths, and I also, you know, hung out with the black kids, and I also liked to stay up late at night, you know, reading a good history book. And so I was well-rounded, and I just, by the time I was about 11, I didn't read comic books or science fiction anymore. My mom would be like, hey, you want to go to the mall and get some more comic books? She knew I liked to collect them. And I said, no, Mom, I'd like to go to the bookstore, though. And I bought Mein Kampf when I was about 11, and the woman thought I was a Nazi at the counter. She got really upset. So I had blonde hair, blue eyes. And she said, are you a Nazi? And I said, are you a Nazi selling this book? She thought that was real witty. But it was a big orange version of Mein Kampf with Hitler on the front. And I thought, no, this guy's supposedly the most evil man in history. I want to read what he wrote. Read Nietzsche, you know, read Plato. And I didn't get all of it till later, but I'm not bragging about that. I just get around most of these PhD historians or these leftist professor types, and they act like they're academic to impress people. But they really don't have even a wide range of knowledge, and not even really a specific deep knowledge generally of what they're even involved in. They're very lazy. And if you watch a CFR meeting, they'll go on for 3 hours on C-SPAN. I in the past, I would watch them when I had time. And it is the most arrogant, foppish, empty, sycophantic, pretend world where these men predominantly all sit around in their suits and kiss each other's butts and talk about how smart they are, and then all scratch each other's back and give each other government contracts. And we've all been around groups of men like that, haven't we? Where people sit around a table and talk about how great they are. And I just really don't like those people. What about you? And then you find out that a good percentage of them are pedophiles. Some of them like to have sex with little girls. Some of them like to have sex with little boys. And then you find out, oh, you're not a man of culture, you see, because you don't want to have sex with little boys or little girls. And then you find out they're even into more degenerate stuff, because that's kind of like the entry drug, the gateway. The real heavy hitters start wars, kill millions of people, put cancer viruses in vaccines, ship out factor 8 to 1,500,000 people full of HIV and hepatitis and kill them. That's Bayer. You know, the Clintons for decades shipping out blood they knew had HIV in every pint. I mean, really, they're just big galactic-sized a-holes who do evil stuff and believe it makes them more powerful. And I use this analogy because it's the only way people ever get it. Everybody's probably seen episode 4. I guess that's Star Wars. Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, where Darth Vader's just killed the head of the Jedi, or helped Palpatine do it. And Palpatine tells him, you must go to the Jedi Temple, kill all the younglings. Only then will you be more powerful on the dark side to defeat Obi-Wan Kenobi. And that's really Satanism right there. Because that is exactly what they do. If you're not strong enough to kill your Labrador Retriever and slit its throat, then you're not strong enough to kill kids. You're not strong. And that's why militaries throughout the world, not just the Nazis, others do it. You take care of a dog for a year or so, and then you kill it. You strangle it. Now, that's Satanism, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a test to see if you'll go to the dark side. And it's wrong. And they're not really looking for that because it's strength. They're looking for that because they can corrupt you. You know, if I really need to kill my dog to save my kids, I'll do it just like that. I don't need to kill it to prove I can do it. For some evil son of a, you know what? So they can see it, they can get me to do bad things. I can do whatever I have to take down evil people. And I'll do it. But it doesn't mean that I then get in to things like that to prove I can do it. And these people get a thrill out of it. And they enjoy it. And they're building a grid of total control to make us comply. You think social media and the social score is only going to make you attack Alex Jones to get promoted or be vapid and be empty. So you get 37 million followers on Instagram, but none of it matters. It's all empty. They want you pliable for the world they're building, and the world they're building is very ugly. And once you bow in one way, you're going to bow a thousand ways until you don't know who you are. When we come back, there's a story on DrudgeReport.com that everybody should go read at DrudgeReport.com. China unveils super surveillance camera that can link to its social credit system. And this ties into what's being built here, what Amazon just rolled out 2 days ago, and the admissions that, oh, by the way, they're not just doing wireless communication with data packages. They're subaudible and also with dog whistle above what humans can hear, communicating with each other and devices without asking you. And there are hidden microphones in everything. So even when you default turn them off, they've got microphones now that are smaller than a thin piece of hair. And I always thought my hair was thin. Blondes have thin hair. Now that I got a lot of gray hair, it's even thinner. It's thinner than a gray hair. And it can give you good audio. And that's 2019. It's exponentially getting better. Soon, there's going to be microphones. In fact, the word is they already have them, that are so small the naked eye can't see them and are smaller than a grain of sand. See how that works? We're going to go to break, come back, and break it all down. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to really support the InfoWar and give the globalists a strong kick in the ass and keep this fight going, please go to InfoWarsStore.com. Plus, you really need these products. David Knight has been having trouble sleeping. And I told him, hey, take a week off. You know, he had a heart attack. I had a serious heart attack earlier this year, but tried to come back in like a week. You know, I made him come back in 2 months. I said, man, take Knockout and take fish oil. And he said, I've taken Knockout, then it's hard to get back up. I said, you got to do it. And I said, take the krill oil and some fish oil together. Take three of them when you go to bed. He did that last weekend into this week. He came to me yesterday looking 10 years younger. I'm not kidding. He said, it's incredible. I never did the fish oil with the Knockout. And now I'm just going to bed earlier, and I do have trouble getting up, but yeah, I feel so good. And I said, man, I know. And by the way, nobody ever told me to do the fish oil to sleep, except my ex-wife. She always would like to eat fish at night. She said, oh, I sleep so much better and have great dreams. It's true. The oils are psychoactive, and this doesn't have any of the mercury that fish can have. It's all been, these are high-end ones. It's all been removed, and it's cost a lot more for us to produce these, but we've got the ultimate fish oil, the ultimate krill oil, and we've got honor roll for kids. They can take the adult one, too. Just trust me. Just take three of them with Knockout, and it's amazing. That's all 50% off right now. InfoWarsStore.com. We got a combo pack with no reviews, but the individual products have five-star reviews. InfoWarsStore.com. Stay with us.
Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
I could escape this feeling with my China girl. I feel a wreck without my...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Alex Jones, your host. We are here live Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then, of course, there is the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. And then from 7 to 9, there is the War Room with Will Johnson and Tom Pappard. And that's really a great show because Will Johnson gets out in front. He walks around with his mic. He has a lot of guests on. Pappert really knows the issues and does a lot of research along with Johnson. It's really great. We're going to have an hour show that's going to be a boil-down countdown show that's going to be mainly for TV. Radio stations are great to get it if they want. It's going to be launching soon, 6 to 7 in between there. We're going to have some more things by the end of the year. As promised, we've been trying to expand into 2020 to really give the globalists a run for their money. And I should also say this again. We were number one in news on Roku when we got banned. They used the Sandy Hook families to say that I was currently coming after them and coming to their homes, which I never did. And they used Democrats to say that I was threatening to kill the children. The owner of Roku wasn't going to take me off till he heard that, and they did. And there's obviously going to have to be some legal action over that. There's no end to these people. Expanding on that. That's the same thing that's being done to Trump. I mean, none of this is true. None of this is real. And it's just extremely dangerous what's happening. We're going to be breaking it all down next segment, the latest developments. But before I get to the control grid, before I break down this whole panopticon that's going into place and how we can hopefully stop it, I want to go back to a film I made that was released a long, long time ago. This film is now almost 13 years old. It's In-Game Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The film is 2.5 hours long. The extras are an hour long. The DVD is still available at InfoWarsStore.com to have it in your library. A lot of you do, but it's free on YouTube. One of the things they haven't taken down I did was In-Game. When it was on Google Video, I was very proud of it. It had over 50 million views, but they got rid of Google Video the next year. So it only has like 6 million views on YouTube, but still proud of In-Game because it really reads like a futurist report that then came true. So here's a little bit from In-Game Blueprint for Global Enslavement.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government. Once free nations are slaves to the will of a tiny elite. The dawn of a new dark age is upon mankind. Countries are a thing of the past. Every form of independence is under attack, with the family and even the individual itself nearing extinction. Close to 80% of the Earth's population has been eliminated. The remnants of a once free humanity are forced to live within highly controlled, compact, prison-like cities. Travel is highly restricted. Superhighways connect the megacities and keep the population from entering into unauthorized zones. No human activity is private. AI supercomputers chronicle and categorize every action. A prison planet dominated by a ruthless gang of control freaks whose power can never be challenged. This is the vision of the global elite, their goal. A program of total dehumanization, where the science of tyranny is law. A worldwide control grid, designed to ensure the overlord's monopoly of power forever. Our species will be condemned to this nightmare future unless the masses are awakened to the New World Order master plan and mobilized to defeat it. Erected by a secretive group, the Georgia Guidestones are a testament to the elite's plan for a world religion, global laws, with a global court and army to enforce it. And set in stone, it is written that the population never rise above 500 million. Zones. No human activity is private. AI supercomputers chronicle and categorize every action. A prison planet dominated by a ruthless gang of control freaks.
And again, that's just a few clips sandwiched together haphazardly from the film that get into what's currently happening, because this has been an admitted program. This story is up on drudgereport.com, and I suggest that people get it there on the right-hand side. China unveils super surveillance camera that can link to its social credit system. A new camera with a resolution five times more detailed than the human eye, able to monitor thousands of people in real time and identify individual faces, has been unveiled by Chinese scientists, prompting renewed fears about mass surveillance. Renewed fears, it's here. ABC News in Australia reports that the new 500-megapixel cloud camera AI system dubbed Super Camera was revealed at China's International Industry Fair last week, and that it feeds in the optics to their system. And they admit if already tens of millions of people are denied flights, they're denied able to buy cars or food or groceries because they violated something the party said. And then once you submit to that level, they begin tightening the noose. And then once you submit to that, and they're already proposing at the UN under the Global Social Score, get sterilized. Well, you'll get decades of free credits. That's how you'll get your free income, your universal income. Or you've had all your vaccines. Or, oh, you made your son transgender. That's the highest bonus, is chopping your son's genitals and testicles off. That's a big bonus when you do. I'm not kidding. That's the sacrament. That's the plan. End humanity as we know it. And here's other articles. Amazon unveils new method to auto-delete Alexa recordings. First, they denied they were recording you. First, they denied that people were listening. All these devices are designed to do this. And now, it's got a system where you can go in and tell it to auto-delete. Funny, Google Nest says that too. Turned out there's a hidden microphone and it's never off. And it's communicating not just with other Google devices, but with everything. Because industry built, this is the smart revolution. You can't even find non-smart stuff, non-spy stuff, non-anti-technocracy stuff. Be a big business in the future for analog and systems that don't spy on you. And all this modern junk doesn't work. It's always breaking. It's screwed up. You've always got to buy an update. It's all planned with obsolescence so that it breaks on purpose. Planned obsolescence. All a scam. All a screw job. You know, they got light bulbs that cost maybe 10 cents, 20 cents more that last 5 years instead of 6 months. Well, it's beyond planned obsolescence. It's planned breakdown of society. It's planned annihilation. It's planned hell. And Amazon smart glasses spark privacy nightmare as people fear an Orwellian world is on the horizon. On the horizon? No. They're announcing it to you now. They rolled out more than a dozen new devices that spy on you all the time and are built into everything you do. And pretty soon there won't be any devices that don't have it already built in. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Now we see the earth. We've got it. Now we see the earth. Now we've got it.
All right, we've got very successful national constitutional lawyer, criminal lawyer, First Amendment lawyer, Robert Barnes, who's InfoWars chief counsel, who filed suit on Mother Jones's operative on the Young Turds and on one other individual this week. And he's here with us working and co-hosting with me. We're going to get at the start of the next hour into the huge impeachment developments and the fact that the Democrats say they do intend to impeach Trump. Begin the impeachment, bring forward the articles for a vote by Thanksgiving. That's the current statements. We're going to look at Trump saying Schiff's got to step down, putting out that hoax announcement that he didn't say till later was a hoax transcript of President Trump talking to the Ukrainian in the quid pro quo. And then other fake dossiers, other fake transcripts were put out by the morning psycho Joe. We'll talk about that next hour, and we will open the phones up specifically on this constitutional crisis and the fact that I think they're very serious and are moving forward with it. People are saying, well, it's backfiring. It's making Trump more popular. They know he's popular in real polls. They know he's going to win. This is desperation. This is a Hail Mary, just like Balazi Ford and the Kavanaugh garbage. It doesn't mean they'll be successful, but they are rabid. We'll talk about it next hour and take your phones with Robert Barnes because he's dead on this. But I wanted to talk about some things we talked about at dinner the other night when you and I and my wife and some friends were out that great little Italian place. I guess it was Wednesday night. You were talking about living in L.A. a while, and you knew some of the same people I knew. You've been to some of the same houses. We won't say any names. And just the spirit of it and what it's like. And then if you use that as a microcosm or a cross-section of what's happening with these globalists that are in love with Hollywood, and Hollywood's really an expression of their worldview, then you understand where they're coming from and why they want such poverty and degradation, why they want to be on a castle hill with needles and feces all around them below and everyone else living in squalor. I mean, it's really a spiritual issue. And you, in like a 10-minute rant, you know, great part about dinner with you is you talked me under the table, which is great, but you really laid out the spirit of the only place I get really depressed is L.A. I feel my soul being sucked. A little bit of that around certain people and groups in D.C. You feel it, but it's really the feeling of having your soul sucked. And then there's people that enjoy that. And until we come to grips with this true evil, we won't know why they have a hunger to corrupt children. We'll never know why they create a climate where we have record suicide and why they push all these psychotropics on people and why the psychological system is run by such wicked folks. So, Robert Barnes, you're an old school hand of the world. You're not just a great lawyer. You're a smart cookie, as they say. Looking at L.A. and not just L.A. in general, but Hollywood Hills as an epicenter, is there anywhere else you feel that dark force? And you really laid it out the other night.
Well, sort of L.A. as a whole is a great description of New York City was that it's a bunch of little neighborhoods connected to one another. Well, L.A. is a bunch of neighborhoods disconnected from one another. And some of those neighborhoods are black holes of darkness and malevolence and maliciousness and power-driven behavior. And really what unites Washington, D.C. culture and Hollywood culture is an obsession with power. So, for example, the reason why pedophilia tends to be predominant in occupations and industries where people have power over children is because pedophiles seek that out. There's nothing inherent in being a clown or a priest or anything else or a school teacher or PE teacher that makes somebody bad. What it is people that are bad seek out those positions of power over children while they have physical access to them. They're power-driven, corrupted cultures. Cultures so driven by, like, the love of money is evil, as it's is read in the Bible, because it's a power-driven motive.
It's not money that's evil.
Exactly.
Or resources. It's when you worship it. Yep. And you'll do anything to have it.
And the only reason you love it or worship it is for the status, the prestige, and the power it provides. Money is just a means of power. That's all it is. So what the Bible was really saying was that love of power is the root of all evil. And that's why places and cultures and communities that love evil, that love power, are the root of evil. That's where you find disproportionate degrees of pedophilia, child pornography, child abuse, and corrupted cultures. Me Too is more dominant in the media culture of New York, the political culture of D.C., and the entertainment culture of Hollywood.
And why are they now externalizing the hierarchy? I mean, they're really coming out now and saying, yeah, we're pedophiles. We're going to have sex with your kids. Yeah, we're devil worshippers. Yeah, we're poisoning you. Yeah, we're going to kill you with 5G.
Well, you have this. I mean, to a certain degree, there's a part of them that feels ashamed of their behavior. And then there's a part of them that wants their behavior welcomed. It's like those people that were doing sort of a sex dance in front of a bunch of kids this weekend. So that became a popular or shameful video. You have people who, at some level, want their culture to be accepted and embraced and their perversions and distortions of morality to be embraced.
And subconsciously, though, there's still some human programming in them.
Yeah.
Part of their body wants to kill them and wants them to be caught.
Exactly, and feels ashamed by it. Feel like serial killers. Almost every serial killer, some portion of them wants to be caught. They that's why they rat themselves out to the police. That's why they rat themselves out to other people.
Oh, they send letters.
Exactly, send letters to the press and notices and the rest. Part of it's a power game, but part of it's a need for punishment because there is some component of their human psyche that has it. But Hollywood's just rampant. I mean, Hollywood's a power-driven culture. That's why they seek out children because children is the ultimate form of abuse of power. And so that, like, the whole, I quit representing.
It's the ultimate selfishness.
Absolutely. I quit representing anyone who had a house. If a client had a house in the Hollywood Hills, they were no longer a client. Because every client I had that had a house in Hollywood Hills was a client I didn't want moving forward.
And without anything about clients, tell people like part of their sacrament is a Joker demon clown painting.
Yeah, I was invited to a wide range of parties up in L.A., including in Hollywood Hills, and no Hollywood Hill party was normal. I mean, I went to two of them, and that was it. You walk in, and there's usually that sort of from the movie Black Dahlia, you have some crazy clown poster that's right as you go in. It's like it has this dark, comedic, just vicious sort of undercurrent, like the movie It.
That's their logo is a child molesting clown.
Exactly. It's just commonplace. It's shockingly commonplace. You find it in places you would never expect to find it. And so the whole culture of it is just a disturbing culture, an unsettling culture. And what is the root of it is a power-driven culture. People who seek power at all cost, seek power at all expense.
I've never sought power until I realized I've got to get it to protect myself and others. And then it makes me nervous when I have power and I want to do a better job, and it actually makes me feel humble. But then you run into these people, they're just crazed and they love it, and it's like they always are. They're happy on the surface, but they're really unhappy, and they're always seeking more power.
No doubt about it. And what you find is that the people who should most seek power are the people who don't. The people who should most not seek power are those who do. And it's this power-driven culture is what leads to this abuse of individuals, abuse of rights, abuse of liberties, and endangers everybody. Like, you look at the gun control debate. That debate isn't about whether or not guns should exist. That debate is about who should have the power of access to guns. Should you be able to have the power of it as an individual for your self-defense, or should only the state have it? Should the state have a monopoly?
And Beto's like, oh, you're so good, citizens are turning them in. Like, we're the bad people, only the state should have it. Well, then Mexico, again, has a crime rate almost 10 times ours, one of the worst in the world, where only the state has guns.
Well, deep irony today is that he was up at Kent State. Beto was up at Kent State saying, hey, oh, it's so terrible that some people brought some guns here. There are private citizens when the terrible event happens at Kent State.
And it was the Army.
It wasn't private citizens shooting down protesters.
The National Guard. State.
Exactly. So the
Which is the whole reason, if the government ever got out of control, we have the guns, is exactly for that. Read the Declaration of Independence, Dumbo.
Precisely. That's what it's all about. It's about self-defense.
It's about a balance of power.
Exactly. Because the constitutional founders recognized, and the people who put the Bill of Rights into power, which was the ordinary American people who required it as a precondition of the Constitution going into force in the first place, and the first Congress had to pass the Bill of Rights as to honor that commitment, was because the balance of power, because they recognized that the people who needed power, who would best respect power, who would best safeguard
power. It's about decentralizing power.
Exactly.
When we come back, let's play Trump, a clip I never got to, at the UN saying that.
Exactly.
And talk more about this, because the Democrats like Swalwell and Beto keep saying, oh, yeah, citizens, you'll never fight the government. We'll defeat you guys. Oh, yeah, like the Vietnamese rice farmers. We'll be back. I'm Alex Jones.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central, it's the Alex Jones Show. But don't forget, David Knight knocks it out of the park. Weekday mornings, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., the David Knight Show. And then, of course, Owen Schroyer in the War Room. And then Will Johnson, Tom Pappert, kicking butt for 2 hours, 7 to 9, firepower. And it's a fast-moving show with a lot of clips, a lot of guests, a lot of analysis, and I like what they're doing. I really enjoy watching Firepower every night. Band.video. We're on the satellite. We're on radio. We're on TV. We're number one on cloud TV. All news combined. We're bigger than all of it. Just people are really hungry for the truth. Remember, you can tell your local radio or TV station, if there's not already one in the area, to pick up the show. Infowars.com/show. There's a link right there to affiliates to send us emails if you want information. We're putting out hundreds of reports a day. Paul Joseph Watson's on there. All our other great reporters, Caitlin Bennett, Millie Weaver, Harrison Smith, John Bound, Paul Watson, band.video. And you can find all the live feeds there. You can find them archived. We're adding a meme world link with all the hot memes. We're adding a hot video link, so there's just fun short videos to spread. It's an arsenal of freedom. It's band.video. And your word of mouth is king. via email, via Facebook, via Twitter. In fact, you don't get blackballed on Twitter and Facebook, we've learned, yet with ban.video. It hasn't been put on the blacklist yet. Neither is really newswars.com. You can share that a lot easier. If you do share Infowars.com, they'll crack down on you. But if you just say, hey, ban.video has some really amazing information on it, really pro-America information the system doesn't want you to know. Or just say, whatever you do, dirty Americans, whatever you do, dirty Americans, do not go to ban.video. And then finally, we're running Black Friday comes early, 2 months early. Biggest sales of the year so far. We haven't done sales this big since Christmas. 50% off on all the supplements, 50% off on all storable foods and preparedness items, high-quality water filters, air filters that are already great prices normally. 50% off. You can't beat these deals. You have to go to the manufacturers and get special allotments to do this. And then on top of it, we also have all the supplements 50% off. That's Brain Force Plus. That's Turbo Force. 10-hour clean energy focus. That's Super Male Vitality. That's Ultimate Female Force. That's Ultimate Bone Broth Formula, the strongest, best bone broth with bee pollen, chaga mushroom, and the other just amazing things like turmeric in it. At $19.95, 50% off. I mean, it just blows away leading competitors that are $60 retail. They discount at $40. We're normally $40. $19.95, I'm making like $5 on this. We're selling out of all of it so we can reorder, have the money to have it in next year. You got to order it 5 months out. So again, InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. The mailing address is also at InfoWarsStore.com. So I want to thank you all for your support. Because without you, we will not be here. So thank you again. Be sure and stock up. Buy it as gifts to give others. Give friends, family, neighbors, you know, fluoride-free toothpaste, fortified with colloidal silver iodine. And a lot of people that get given the gifts of our coffee or toothpaste, it's so good that they become listeners and become buyers from the site. So being ambassadors for the products, hey, this is funding Americana. This is funding the resistance. This is funding a truth-based network that is really running defense for Trump and others with our offensive operations. The globalists say they want to shut down number one. They've said it public. Why? Because we destroy them. So thank you all again for your support. But whatever you do, your word of mouth is central, is paramount. So tell folks that we're still alive on air and in many cases more powerful than ever thanks to you. Infowars.com/show and ban.video. Okay, Barnes, we're going to get into this impeachment and this active coup, and the Pelosi says they're taking them out no matter what. But I'm glad you got into the Second Amendment. I want to play this Trump clip in a moment from the UN. It seems like, and the listeners have been saying this, and I agree with them, they really got hysterical by that speech. It was like Pelosi knew she didn't have the votes before, but now she goes, it doesn't matter if this isn't true. It doesn't matter if he didn't do anything wrong. Now they're saying it's obstruction. Now they're saying it's witness intimidation because Trump's saying, my God, I'm spied on all the time. And then people make up, I've done something wrong. This is insane. I mean, yeah, what about the president? Foreign leaders are saying, we're scared to talk to him now. It'll all be released. It's not like anything's wrong, but doesn't the president deserve privacy? I mean, Congress isn't being listened to, and they're not giving out Pelosi's phone calls to the world.
Well, I mean, contrast it with what's happening to Julian Assange, who's being criminally prosecuted in part simply because he disclosed cables between lower-level officials. So how is it that that is a crime to disclose for a member of someone who's doing free press activities to disclose lower-level cables between diplomats, but somehow disclosing the president's own conversation with the president of another country concerning corruption both within their country, within their...
And then countries. Misrepresenting what's in it.
Absolutely. They're fabricating it, force-feeding that to the public view. In other words, how is that somehow, like they're describing this person as a whistleblower. Well, this person is not a whistleblower as a matter of law. The law is that in order to be a whistleblower under the particular statutes applicable in this context, you have to have firsthand information. The inspector general is a political hack of the intelligence community who should have rejected this so-called whistleblower complaint right away and said it was not legally a whistleblower complaint. It was a policy disagreement by a political hack who was trying to undermine the president of the United States and lying and disguising his criminal leaking as being somehow a whistleblower activity when by law it is not whistleblower.
And we're going to hit all that next hour and take calls, but it's just, I'm trying to wait till next hour, but it's just, how do you not get into it? It's just so crazy. And then the fake transcript that he read into the record, the Schiff, and then the fact that other news put out the fake transcript and then didn't even correct it later. It just shows that if you keep asking, where's the bottom? There is no bottom. So we've got to extrapolate and project, where is this going to go with Tinkerbell, Schiff, and Crazy Joe Scarborough and the rest of it? But speaking of the Second Amendment, as you were pointing out, it's not about protecting people from guns. They know that places where they take the guns are more dangerous. It's about demonizing the general public ahead of a collapse that they believe they're going to use to, in an authoritarian way, cut off resources and make us all capitulate to their leftist dream. Everybody that's looked at this agrees, you're smart. It's going to cause a super right-wing fascist takeover, and then these leftists will wish for the days of Donald Trump. I don't want to go down that road either, but they are summoning hell itself.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, every like 538, a very liberal data group, put some people on studying gun control. And what they found was that gun control doesn't work. And even though they continued to be leftist, came out and said the data does not support any gun control effort or endeavor. It makes the country less safe, not more, the more you take gun self-defense rights away from ordinary people. The same conclusion was reached by an editor of NPR who ended up writing a book about it, who said, you know what, everything I believed about gun control was a lie that my own liberal press had told me.
If you really care about people, then you arm the schools. You don't advertise their victim disarmament zones where loons go get attention. It's like, hey, you have an option. Kill yourself, have suicide by cop, or go to a school. It's like option A, B, or C, like the option of, hey, kids, you confuse, you're autistic, chop your balls off. Kids weren't chopping their balls off till you made it an option.
And what's happening is you're seeing, for example, we have historical and contemporary examples of utilizing this mechanism of self-defense by allowing teachers the ability to self-defense in Israel, by allowing pilots the means of securing their cockpits so they don't have hostage taking.
Yeah, you can trust them with the plane, but you can't trust them with a 357?
Yeah, exactly, which is insane. So we know the mechanisms by which self-defense occurs. So none of this has anything to do with self-defense. It's about taking away the power of self-defense and monopolizing.
And just like
the power,
you have the lowest crime rate of any group, regardless of race, color, creed, with concealed carries, because you go take the class. You know it's a responsibility, and it's an office you're holding.
Yes.
And people automatically put that hat on and become even better people.
Absolutely. They become more observant. They become more careful. They become more cautious. The best gun users in the world are lawful gun owners. The most dangerous are illegal gun owners and the state. The state has a law. Unfortunately, every government over time has a longer history of mass murder than any private citizen has ever been able to achieve.
Like Trump said at the UN, 100 million people killed by commies.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's why Trump's speech was so extraordinary. And, of course, it triggered fear. The fact that he would do it on the floor of the United Nations right after he was committing to the president of Ukraine to meaningfully investigate deep state corruption, both in the United States and in Ukraine, was going to terrify the establishment press.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to play Trump, one of the few clips I didn't get to. You know what makes me mad is that it really makes me upset. We should be celebrating that speech. And instead, all we're hearing is this impeachment. And I'm going to tell people again. They mean business. Okay, yeah, it hurt them in the polls. It doesn't matter. Why do they care if he's 7 points ahead of the Democrats before they impeach, and then after they try to impeach, he goes up 10, 15 points? They don't care. They know he's going to win. They have nothing to lose.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, they see it as all gain. And if they can shut down the Ukrainian investigation, they win. If they can shut down the U.S. investigation into Ukrainian collusion and corruption by Biden and the deep state, they win.
I think Giuliani and Trump ought to call a national press conference and ought to just come out or fireside chat and just dump everything, go on total offense. And again, we need the Justice Department to start indicting these people now. That will stop them. The only course is offense, total attack.
No doubt about it. Because if they do anything different, then the president is in serious trouble and America's in serious trouble.
Absolutely, folks. We're not taking it lying down anymore, and I know you're not taking it lying down anymore. Well, hour number three straight ahead. I'll give the phone number out. We'll go to your calls quickly. I'm getting better about it. We really appreciate you. We'll be back. Please spread the word about the live broadcast. We're fighting for everybody.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
There is no circumstance under which the United States will allow international entries to trample on the rights of our citizens, including the right to self-defense. That is why this year I announced that we will never ratify the UN Arms Trade Treaty, which would threaten the liberties of law-abiding American citizens. The United States will always uphold our constitutional right to keep and bear arms. We will always uphold our Second Amendment. The core rights and values America defends today were inscribed in America's founding documents. Our nation's founders understood that there will always be those who believe they are entitled to wield power and control over others. Tyranny advances under many names and many theories, but it always comes down to the desire for domination. It protects not the interests of many, but the privilege of few. Our founders gave us a system designed to restrain this dangerous impulse. They chose to entrust American power to those most invested in the fate of our nation, a proud and fiercely independent people. The true good of a nation can only be pursued by those who love it, by citizens who are rooted in its history, who are nourished by its culture, committed to its values, attached to its people, and who know that its future is theirs to build or theirs to lose. Patriots see a nation and its destiny in ways no one else can. Liberty is only preserved. Sovereignty is only secured. Democracy is only sustained. Greatness is only realized by the will and devotion of patriots.
He just said that political power goes out of the barrel of a gun, and so our people have the guns, unlike China. He literally talked about the spirit of 1776 there, and the true definition, it's not about duck hunting. I mean, Trump is really, really starting to find his second wind here.
Yeah, the answer to China's Orwellian 1984 vision for the world is still America's spirit of 1776. And that's what the president made clear, and he made clear and articulated in detail and was willing to do it from the floor of the United Nations, no less, by saying that he would never broach any international intrusion, any international interference with the right of self-defense, which is the right way to call the Second Amendment. The language is the right to bear arms because it needed to be literal for legal purposes. But what the principle it is protecting is the right of self-defense, the right of self-defense against other criminals, the right of self-defense against the state when the state acts inappropriately or improperly.
The speech really was a tour de force. I'm tempted to come in Sunday and go on a few hours early. I might do it Saturday, but regardless, just to play the whole speech and then calmly go through it, because I watched it again two nights ago. It's 43 minutes long. It's just, it's pure Americana. I mean, most presidents hide from this. Trump is just flaunting it. I have a sneaking suspicion that Stephen Miller wrote the speech. I know Trump adds to the speeches.
That's Stephen Miller's language to a T. I know Stephen Miller. So that's all that is Miller's language, Miller's template, Miller's text. Everything about it is Miller. It's a little bit of Trump editing at the, patriots is a word Trump really likes. So there's certain words that are, Trump's terminology.
Thank God for Stephen Miller. Yeah. And, that's just an example of how we need people that just go to college that are patriots, get involved in government. And then he's very unassuming. He knows to keep his head down.
Yeah, I mean,
and then he's literally like an, I hate to even talk about how important he is.
They've already tried to dox him repeatedly. Whenever they've tried to track where he lives, tried to release it to the public, tried to get Antifa involved. Antifa tried to dox it, put it as graffiti on bus stops.
They want to kill him.
Yep, just like they're doing to Tucker Carlson.
Just like they've done to Senator Paul, six ribs broken, punctured lung. The left all celebrates it. I'm not somebody that hungers after physical war, but if you little jackasses push too much longer, when this fight starts, you're going to be begging for mommy. We'll be right back.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Start your engines on this Friday edition. We're now into the third hour, and I'm going to open the phones up starting at the next segment for your questions, your comments, your statements on the move to impeach Trump. Pelosi has said she's got six committees and that they are going to go ahead with articles of impeachment. We're going to show you the article and statement by Thanksgiving. We could have President Trump out of office by Christmas. That's their little present to us, stealing the election. But under the Constitution, he could still win the election and be back in. They'd have to impeach again. They'll undoubtedly try to assassinate him at that point. This country is in the middle of a civil war with powerful globalist forces. But I want to remind listeners of something. As bad as things could get, I've been on here 25 years. And when I was a little kid, my parents had a friend who was a big John Bircher in Dallas. They'd have meetings at our house by White Rock Lake when I was like 3, 4, 5 years old, because we moved to Rockwall after that, and they still had some meetings at our house after that. And they'd be like Dallas cops and FBI agents and Army colonels coming over and, you know, high-level Seventh-day Adventists and, you know. And, I mean, these were the type of people that had, like, you know, Richard Nixon calling them up and stuff before that. And my mom worked for a group, and Richard Nixon used to call up, and she'd hand the phone off. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that's the type of folks. Maybe 5% of the country was like that when I was 4 years old. Now, Trump is right up there laying it out at the UN in 44 minutes, devastating them, their world government, their corporate corruption, big techs wish to rule intellectually and create a new dark age. You want to take our guns to make us slaves? You want to kill the unborn and the already born? This was a gauntlet down. And I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you right now that as far as we've come against this world government model, this corporate world government model that's still powerful, still in control, has all the money, has China, has Hollywood, it doesn't matter. Once people know it's illegitimate that the EU's unelected and took over the UK without a vote, it doesn't matter how many years they try to block a vote to get out. The UK will get out. I said that 4 years ago when they passed Brexit. I said, watch, it'll take probably a decade. But it'll make people totally anti-New World Order once they ignore their vote. I predicted that. People go, oh, they keep coming back and trying to nullify it. Once you hit a chain reaction at this level, once people get, you mean there's big corporations that pay no taxes that want to set up a world government? They want to domesticate men and families so that no one ever resists them? And they believe there's a post-human world coming with Silicon takeover? What? They're going to track everything I do, and if I don't do what they want, they'll cut me out of jobs or buying groceries or living? That's not coming. That's here now. So it's incredibly negative. It's frightening. It's dangerous. But at least we knew it was coming. At least we understand what was going to happen. I mean, I remember being 5 years old, people going, they're going to have a big giant computer that tracks everything you do, and they'll get rid of the cash. It'll all be digital. And if you don't do what they want, the plan is to shut it off. I mean, and because these folks were reading what Zbigniew Brzezinski was writing. These folks, when I was a kid, like my dad and others, weren't just making this up. And here we are 40 years later. We've got a president in that's actually fighting it to a great extent. We've got all these other populists being elected. So I want people to realize that we're not the one behind the eight ball. It's this global government system, because they may try to bring in a total tyranny, and they are. That's not going to make this dog hunt. Am I wrong, Robert Barnes?
No, that's precisely the case. And the biggest obstacle to their ability to do what they want is the support of the ordinary people, of the everyday person. It's the American people that continue to protect the president, that continue to protect democracy, that continue to protect the spirit of 1776 against the sort of Chinese social credit tyrannical model where you don't have a right to privacy, where you don't have a right to speech, where you don't have a right to free press, where you don't have a right to self-defense, where you don't have a right to bail in criminal proceedings. You don't even have a right to a trial in a criminal proceeding, least of all a jury trial in a criminal proceeding. You have none of the spirit of 1776, none of the 10 amendments that make up the Bill of Rights, none of the foundational fundamental freedoms that are the fountain of American liberty that have been spread around the world that now the Chinese model is trying to counteract in its sort of a communist capitalist hybrid system that's really about big tech, big corporate, big state dominance against the ordinary individual American and the ordinary individual person, period. And what the president was laying down, and the reason why he did it at the United Nations, is because the big models competing for the world power are the United States 1776 model and the Chinese 1984 model. And it's happening in real time. It's happening in live time. And the president stood up and said, I'm going to fight for the 1776 model all around the world, and willing to say it right here on the floor of the United Nations.
And I've noticed pushback from the controlled right wing and left wing on InfoWars and on YouTube. Oh, Jones is red herring. China's not powerful. There's nothing going on. Let's all have a race war. It's black versus white. China is a globalist colony of slaves. China is an organized, top-down, command and control economy. It's been given all the perks, all the one-sided trade deals, all the intellectual property, all the ports, Panama Canal, our Office of Personnel Management hack, our military secrets, the ICBM secrets, the particle beam weapon secrets, all of it to be positioned to bring us down. And so everyone working against America right now is literally for that model. The CFR says there's either the Chinese global model or the American model, and they want the American model to end. And so the Secretary General of the UN said, the day of the speech, Edward Trump gave it, he said, the world is now divided between America and China. That's the bipolar world, with progressivism with China against America. They're all against us. And when you look at the weak-minded little slaves of the left that say no borders, no wall, no USA at all, that really hate Trump and hate InfoWars and hate Christians and hate families, these are the scum of the earth. Just thank God every day you're not them. And remember, they'll never rule you. The average leftist with 3 degrees that are worthless was taught they're going to be rulers. They're just the people to bring the country down. They'll be the people actually pushed to the side if the authoritarians ever take over. You're going to be offered jobs by the authoritarians and are going to have to refuse them and fight them if they win this leg of the fight. That's why it's so pathetic, these little minions out there, the little Antifa meth head college students believe they're going to have positions of power. No, you're the ones that are going to be killed first if you're successful.
I mean, if the climate change people were sincere at all, their obsession would be China, which is the fastest growing polluter in the world. And yet they don't even talk about China. If the human trafficking part of the left, who's opposed to human trafficking, was sincere about it, they would be obsessed with China, which is one of the leading human traffickers in the world.
Or Mexico.
If the people who care about religious dissidents' rights, particularly they say they care about Islam being wrongfully targeted, well, they would be obsessed with the way China is treating its dissident Muslims and locking them up in basically a state-controlled
Trump
facility.
And Pence are defending the Muslims in China.
Exactly.
But the left isn't.
If they cared about religious dissident rights, they would care about the fact that religious dissidents and of a particular spiritual movement that helped found the Epic Times here in the United States are being targeted for human experimentation in China.
And Falun Gong.
Exactly. And organ transfers and the rest, all of which has been documented repeatedly. So the left is exposed when they don't talk about China, that their real objective is undermining the U.S. experiment and the U.S. democratic
system. Well, let me correct you. The Washington Post says, oh, crush Trump, destroy Trump. Oh, Xi Jinping, you're my daddy, save me. Oh, help me, help defeat the American.
It's the ultimate foreign meddling. The ultimate foreign meddling. All this talk about Ukraine and Russia and everyone else. The ultimate foreign meddling is China. China's
doing everything. Wouldn't you say they're like 90% of all meddling?
Oh, absolutely. Look at who's buying up banking infrastructure in the Caymans in the Caribbean with their donations of infrastructure. Look at who's buying up natural resources in Africa. Look at who's getting involved in oil politics.
And it's all American money. America had half the world's wealth, 4% of the population. In the 50s and 60s, the globalists made the decision to break up our families, emasculate our men, sell off our industry and power that the West and the Renaissance created. They gave the Renaissance to the bloodthirsty Chi-Coms.
Well, you just look at it. Between 2000 and 2020, due to deliberate decisions made by the U.S. government, U.S. military and manufacturing and industrial power was stripped in favor of China systematically.
And they all wrote CFR books bragging how they did it. Well, listen here, you CFRs. You're going to get it. We'll be back. I'll give the number out, and we'll launch into the impeachment move and how to stop it. Tomorrow's news today. Stay with us.
I'm going to live forever. I'm going to cross that river. I'm going to catch tomorrow now.
You're going to miss me.
You're going to want to hold me just like I always told you. You're going to miss me when I'm gone.
Nobody here will ever find me.
Monday through Friday, I'm here live, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central.
Just like the song,
but there's all those other great shows, like David Knight, Owen Schroyer, Bill Johnson, and Tom Papert. Crank it up for a minute. A little bit of Christian music here from the Highwaymen for you.
You fathers and you mothers, be good to one another. Please try to raise your children.
children.
Don't let the darkness take them.
Don't let the darkness take them.
Don't make them feel forsaken. Just lead them safely to the light. Look at Hollywood. Openly want to destroy your children. Openly Satanist. This isn't really a hard choice, is it? And they're trying to demoralize you and break your will right now. The truth is, they're beginning to lose. Right as their world government and prophecy is fulfilled, they are running around trying to kill, steal, and destroy because they know they're cosmic losers. We're going to start taking your phone calls next segment. The toll-free number to join us is 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539 on this Friday edition. Robert Barnes riding shotgun with me. Specifically on how serious do you think impeachment is? What do you think Trump should do? What should we do? I'm telling you, I think it's very serious. They're making their move with articles by Thanksgiving, and then they could have him out by the end of the year. People said, well, there's nothing there. They don't care. Now they're saying he obstructed. Now they're saying he intimidated the witness. They tried to trick him, as you said last night. You predicted it. And then now today they say, oh, he may have leaked who it was, though he didn't. So they are really, really panicking right now. Trump has no privacy. He lives in a glass house. He's done nothing wrong. So they put out fake transcripts. MSNBC, Joe Scarborough, Psycho Joe, the head of the committee, Schiff. Adam Schiff, all these guys. It is completely and totally out of control. What do you think the biggest takeaway is from this? That it's the deep state. They really mean it this time. This isn't their first rodeo. They're really trying to get it done this time out of desperation because they know Trump's going to win the election.
Well, I mean, part of it is the deepest factual truth about all of this is you can't spell quid pro quo without quid pro Joe. That basically Joe Biden was deeply embedded with the deep state during the Obama administration and was using a Ukrainian front company to launder cash for the deep state and for his family. And in order to cover that up, they needed to attack the president of both Ukraine and the United States and keep the world from knowing the truth about what they were.
So the big takeaway is this is a desperate distraction because it goes to Joe Biden, it goes to Mitt Romney, it goes to Obama, Hillary. This is their cash-making operation that Trump's over the target.
Exactly. And one of the things they've been paranoid about is that their politics in Ukraine are connected to their politics in Russia because they've been various deep state operatives have been in bed with actual Nazi elements, as you can see in movies like Ukraine on Fire and other documentaries, who actually in bed long. In fact, you can look up various CIA documents right on the CIA FOIA website. You can find documents that people have used the Freedom of Information Act to get that show the CIA's 70-year relationship with the Nazi party in Ukraine.
Which you did a great job detailing yesterday, but it's not like this is Oliver Stone, totally documented, HBO, one of the few good shows still on that isn't a bunch of lies. Because before Stone ever even put the Ukraine on fire, we knew those facts. We'd covered it. I mean, he's really reporting truth there, which is why you don't see it being promoted. So expanding on that, Warren's now going after Biden to put herself in the pole position. And I think they're willing to sacrifice Biden to try to get at Trump. But it just shows, again, they are absolutely panicked.
Well, and I think for them, the goal is multiple. It isn't just to get president impeached. It's to shut down his efforts to do a meaningful investigation of deep state corruption as it extends to Democratic Party elite collusion in foreign countries and true.
So elections. What does he do?
He's got to not take the bait, not allow them to deter him. He's got the Ukrainian president needs to move forward.
He needs to come out and say, oh, we figured out what you're scared of. Hillary, Uranium One, Hillary and Soros. He needs to go absolute full war.
Yeah, exactly. Tell Attorney General Barr, there's a mutual legal assistance treaty between the United States and Ukraine, signed and approved by Senator Biden in 1999, put through by President Clinton in 1999. Back then, they didn't know Ukraine was going to be such a key political place for them to do all this collusion and corruption. The mutual legal assistance treaty becomes, by the U.S. Constitution, superior to congressional legislation.
It's a treaty.
It's a treaty. It is binding.
So Trump's actually activating under law, even if what they said is true, though it's not.
In fact, he would have been acting lawlessly had he not agreed to provide support and assistance to investigate Joe Biden. That would have been the illegal act. If he would have obstructed justice to protect Joe Biden, then that would have been a violation of his constitutional obligations under the treaty provisions of the Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty between the United States and Ukraine.
There are so many angles to this. It's just astounding.
If I was his legal advisor, I would have told him to do and say exactly what he did and said, because that's what was constitutionally obligated for him to do. His obligation was, hey, I'm not going to hide. Running for president in the United States does not grant you legal immunity from criminal investigation for your bad acts as a prior official of the United States government. So the idea that Joe Biden running for office magically grants him immunity, no. If he got elected, he would have a certain degree of immunity until he was out of office, but not when he's running for office for his past bad acts in office. That would be insane.
What do you expect him to do next?
So I think they're going to double down, triple down, and move forward. They're talking about impeaching the president by Thanksgiving. Their Christmas gift to the American people is going to be a Senate removal trial of the president of the United States. That's the deep state's idea of running this country.
And that's important. Explain how that works.
So the first part is the impeachment is like the indictment. Like you go to the grand jury and indict. Or if it was a civil suit, it's like the complaint. It's the beginning of the process, not the conclusion of the process. The impeachment is only one half of the equation. Removal, which is the only thing that's consequential. Bill Clinton was impeached, but he was not removed. So the impeachment is the indictment from the House. That's almost guaranteed to happen. They're only short, I think, 5 Democrats currently as of today. They'll get those 5 Democrats who will likely lose in 2020 because of their vote, but they'll do it anyway.
But they're going for it.
Exactly. They're doubling down, tripling down all the way across the board. They're doing anything possible to discourage and deter the exposure of deep state Democratic Party elite corruption and their collusion between each other.
And then they're going to threaten and twist arms on those senators.
Exactly. They're already doing it. They're already leaking things. The Intelligence Committee is basically co-opted by the intelligence community.
So Trump's real hope and all of our hope is to go on the total offense.
Absolutely.
Everybody should take their vacation in D.C. You should go get them by the hand. They're not gods. They work for you. The place is wide open. Go talk to them. Go to the committees. Go when they're in the district. The Democrats say harass people at their houses, break their ribs, kill them. Don't do that. But you know what? You see them at church. You see them at the boat dock. You see them at the grocery store. You see them in a restaurant. It's time to let them know that you're going to hold them responsible for the criminal activity they're involved in. They want to bully us? BS. You started it. We're going to get in your face. 877-789-2539. 877-789-ALEX. Specifically questions, comments. You disagree with us. You agree. 877-789-ALEX. 877-789-2539. Do you think Trump realizes how much danger he's in?
Yes, he does. I mean, and I'm getting texts from his campaign people on an hourly basis talking about how serious and significant this is.
And let's be clear. That's a great way to raise money, but I get his emails too. We're getting 10 times the volume we used to get. I
mean, way above.
It's frantic because they get it.
And he's willing to quintuple and double, triple, and quintuple what people give him, which he hasn't done before. So he recognizes that the American people are his firewall, and he's calling.
And let's be clear, we're going to see Trump really take the gloves off rhetorically, I predict.
He said today, this is war. Those were his words.
This is war.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Watch me. Watch me. I got it.
Yeah, I got something.
I got soul.
And I'm super bad. Woo! Feels so good.
I got soul.
Mr. Brown bringing us in. Your phone calls are loaded up. Pastor Sam, Barry, Jay, John, Wildman, Trucker Vet, Brad, Matt, Jeff, and Martin. We'll get to all of you before Dr. Nick Baggage takes over. In the first two segments of the next hour, Paul Watson was on with Steven Crowder. It was a powerful interview. We got some of the excerpts. So that's the first 15 minutes. But we've got Robert Barnes here with us right now. And I just keep watching clips, even during the breaks, because I see the promos and things we're running, the TV feed, and just Trump's speech, man. God bless America. God bless the world. Let's have peace. Let's fight communism and socialism. Let's empower the family. Right to self-defense. China's wrong, oppressing its people, including its Muslims, and you know, enslaving them and stealing our stuff. And big tech's out of control and is a cult. I mean, it's just hitting on all cylinders. And I think that is what sent them into. And if he is playing 3 or 4D chess, if he wanted to fight, he's got one. And I've got the article right here. Again, Trump says this is war. This is war.
I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, the president recognizes what's taking place. And the president realizes that This is a battle between the spirit of 1776 and the Chinese 1984 Orwellian model. It's 1776 versus the world. And the and if that model is going to become the empowering model it has for the last 300 or so, almost years, the dating back to the founding of the country and even before then, when the spirit of 1776 animated the people who came here in the first place, liberties they would enshrine in the Constitution but did not begin with the Constitution, liberties that, in the words of the founders themselves, began and were founded in the rights of man and the conscience of the man and the conscience of humankind, as scripted in the by the scriptures into the souls of humankind. That's what this is. This is a battle between a sort of AI future, a big tech future, a big state future, an institutional future, a future where only the state has a monopoly on guns and weapons and tools of destruction, where the ordinary person has no means of self-defense against privacy invasions, against their control of their financial well-being, a social credit system in the Chinese model that now, with surveillance technology, with banking control, with currency control, with gun control, can basically completely monopolize what access to power and privilege an ordinary person could have. If that model was replicated and duplicated around the world, American freedom and American liberty would be become mute and dead overnight. That's why the president chose the floor of the United Nations to make his seminal speech that will resound in history as a call for all Americans to rally behind the flag, rally behind liberty, rally behind American freedom against this new threat.
And I want to be infinity clear for everybody. The exact talking points, the exact names, the exact points we have said for 25 years is what the president's saying, not because he adopted our nomenclature. This is the real world.
Yeah, the only thing CNN got right is that Trump is the InfoWars president. That's true, because
and you notice Nunes said this is an information war against the president.
Exactly. Use the exact phraseology.
Trump declares war on Schiff because Schiff has declared war on reality and been caught in giant fraud and the media is covering up. So this is the fight, folks, for America. And we're not just going to replace America with something, you know, that's, oh, not good. We're replacing it with pure nightmare scientific evil. Let's go to phone calls here. What does Trump need to do? Well, let's talk to Trucker Vet in FEMA Region 9. Trucker Vet, thanks for holding her on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple things. I have this one thing will be an emergency message to the president, and it's also a dire prediction. And that is, if Trump does not act as in like a commander in chief, if he doesn't act, he doesn't take solid, offensive, hardcore action as if he only has the remainder of his term to do so.
Absolutely.
If he does not do that, he will only get one term or less. That is my emergency message to the president.
And then they're going to destroy him as a message to everyone. And I think Trump knows that. That's why we're going to see some fireworks. Keep going.
Yeah, okay. And then the second part of my message is, okay, yes, we're in a war. It's an information war, et cetera. However, instead of engaging these people, these evil control freak minions that want to have control over every aspect of our lives, it is time for us to transcend them. It is time for us to transcend them. And I got a few ideas on how to do that, but instead of engaging with them in a battle, we need to transcend them. That's the other part of my message.
Well, look, Matt Drudge talked about building our own internet and keeping our own sites. We've got our own audio, our own video, our own news sites. We're one of the few outfits that actually did it. Everybody else has been taken off the air, and you know, and I appreciate your call, sir. Great points. I've thought about this. We have to engage them when they make up huge lies, but we know they're liars, and so the only power they have is bigger and bigger lies to still distract us having to counter them. So how do you balance that?
I mean, I think Trump is calling out Schiff is correct. Saying that this is a war is correct. That's what this is. This is a deep state combining with efforts. He was talking to some people today that it came out where he talked about how basically the CIA and other operatives and rogue operatives have been spying on the White House, misusing and abusing.
And now they're calling that intimidation. The president's like, man, these people that work here are spying on me, making stuff up. They go, oh, you're intimidating us. When he fights back in any way, oh, that's intimidation.
Which tells you what they're up to because they project so much. So when they accuse the president of intimidating, what they mean is that they plan to engage in intimidation. intimidation. And it's what they've been doing. Intimidate by lies, intimidate by deception. They want to intimidate everybody around Trump, including Trump himself and the Ukrainian president, into not investigating their corruption, into not uncovering their criminal behavior, into not uncovering the scope and scale of bad activities under the Obama administration, the scandal-free administration. They don't want all the scandals that got hidden for 8 years by a compliant Congress and a corrupt media to now be fully viewed by the whole world.
Absolutely. This is it, folks. They're coming for Trump. This is bigger than ever.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and talk to John in Florida. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Alex and Attorney Barnes. How are you today?
We're good, sir. Thank you for calling.
Great. Attorney Barnes, first, I just want to tell you, you're the greatest shotgun rider and co-pilot I think I've ever seen. I really enjoy you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay. To you guys, really quickly, here's the hashtag, if they reject, we reelect. Let's start there. And here's my question, kind of prefaced with a little bit of a background that fits everything we're talking about. I'm sure you and your listeners will agree with me that as Trump supporters over the last 2 or 3 years, we're taking a compounding ass kicking. And we're being continuously exposed to this ramped up blitzkrieg. We're being pressurized from so many directions to make us try to, you know, chase our tails. We're being menaced by people 24/7 who are dedicated to pure evil. And these people should have been named as enemies of the state a long time ago. So here's my question. Do you believe that we can no longer afford to psychoanalyze everything to death and wait for permission to fight back on our terms? In other words, is it time to get right with God and stop singing and start swinging?
Well, I know this. They wind up their Antifa folks to go shoot up places, and they know what they're doing. This Joker movie is an order to go out and mass shoot. And even the Pentagon has come out and said that. I mean, this is a weapon system to trigger incels to go out and kill people. I said that 2 weeks ago when I saw the transcript of the film from one of my Hollywood sources, and the Pentagon came out yesterday and said that, and Army Security Services did. This is designed perfectly to get mental patients to think they're going to be movie stars. They go out and kill people to then blame gun owners. So I don't want any offensive violence. But if everything ever kicks off, again, they're going to try to have street battles and get right-wingers to go out and fight Antifa on the streets. That doesn't need to happen. These globalists already know they're going to have to hightail it, and you don't have to worry about that. They think they're going to hide out in Kauai or wherever. Their own security people, if this really goes to a hot war, I can tell you, are going to deal with them, and that's not hype. So I appreciate your call, sir. People start talking about swinging. Hey, how about you call all the talk radio shows, tell them about InfoWars.com. How about you email everybody? How about you climb up on a billboard? I'm not saying do this. That's, you know, some globalist thing, and put a message up there. There's a lot of civil disobedience you can do before we talk about swinging for the fences and, you know, cracking heads and drawing blood.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Well, I'm upper class, high society. God's gift to ballroom notoriety.
Okay, let's go right back to your phone calls here, and I'm getting the video right now. It's been posted to InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com, and it's a textbook example of how the system spins everything. And how they engage in deception. Trump attack on whistleblower in private meeting was caught on video. He's at a meeting speaking to the United States mission to the United Nations. He's speaking to a whole bunch of diplomats. And he's saying, it's all made up. We're at war now with the deep state. These are sick, sick people. They're claiming that's an attack on a whistleblower. Now, I mean, that's the way they're framing this, that if the president speaks and says he's innocent, that's obstruction. Again, there's just no end to this. And we'll have this video for you. We'll air it at 6 after. I may just air the whole speech. Dr. Begich understands he gets preempted sometimes. Like, we'll just hear the whole thing, probably. But this is just an amazing time to be alive.
Oh, absolutely. If John Voight is out there today saying this is war, in defense of the president, in a video that's also going viral. So you're seeing across the board. And that's the president having a conversation with his staff and UN staff, and he's explaining what's going on. This person is not a whistleblower. It's a rat spy.
Who makes stuff up.
Exactly. Who's
I've dealt with this when the media immediately has paid former employees just to make up stuff.
Oh, absolutely. This is a situation where this person does not have credibility, did not have authenticity, did not have admissible evidence. And under the law, you can only be a whistleblower for these purposes if you have firsthand information. Why do they do that? Because they don't want people spreading rumor and innuendo and in a policy war with the elected president. This is a classic example of the deep state. There's all kinds of sort of mainstream press people out there today saying, well, obviously the deep state does exist, doesn't it? Because that's what this is. There's no other explanation or articulation for what this is except deep state operatives. These are people who are saying, we want to execute our policies against the will of the elected president of the United States, and that includes covering up for prior corruption involving the Obama administration and deep state collusion in Ukrainian politics.
As it shows, the American people have to say no to this. This is outrageous.
Absolutely.
Martin in Ohio. Martin, thanks for holding her on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
All right. Yeah. I just wanted to ask you, basically, if the deep state does manage to impeach and remove Trump, how does that not completely undermine and destroy our system of government? Because what they do is, by removing Trump, they void our elections. They say the elections by and for the people no longer have any weight and aren't worth anything.
Oh, yeah, this means that the government will be totally illegitimate if they're able to do this. I mean, this is the corrupt, evil, anti-American, globalist government that says America was never great, we suck, having borders existing is bad. This is the enemy.
Well, in fact, we'll probably be able to find Joe Biden's statement from 1998. He said the president does not serve at the privilege of Congress. The president does not serve at the privilege of Senator Joe Biden. The president serves at the will of the people. And it is the people who elect the president, not Congress. And that's Joe Biden saying that. So the Democratic political establishment used to admit and acknowledge that the people get to elect the president, not the politicians, not the deep state. And the president gets to dictate policy, not the deep state, not the politicians in the Congress and the House when it comes to foreign policy. So this is just a war against the president of the United States. This is a continuous war that they refuse to step back from or step down from. The president's going to have to double down. And when he said, yeah, this is war, these are bad people. And if they think I'm going to fold and go home and go gently into the good night, they got another thing.
This is just an incredible time to be alive. Anything else, Martin?
Nope, that was it. I mean, I could give you a plug. The toothpaste and the toothbrush, best combo ever. But yeah, you answered my question, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, the colloidal silver embedded toothbrush. The toothbrush is yellow, but that's the color of the silver when it's been oxidized. It really works great. It's amazing, and absolutely the super a silver system that's in it is really good for your teeth, good for your gums, antibacterial, antiviral. Then you've got the fluoride-free toothpaste that doesn't have any fillers in it. And then it's got the iodine and the colloidal silver super blue toothpaste. It's 50% off right now, as is all the supplements and things like toothpaste that are in the same category as supplements. It's all 50% off. The immune guard, 50% off. It's all there. The skin creams, everything. InfoWarsStore.com. Double Patriot points in your next order. Store-wide free shipping. And 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com, including the preparedness items, water filtration, air filtration. And by the way, the Beto Nut Take Our Rifles shirt has been in for about a week. I just haven't worn one yet or done an ad for it, but I'm going to get that done this weekend. Those are now in and have been shipping for a week. And Viso Beats, a super beet concentrate. Everybody knows how great beets are for your body. It's got all these little key cofactors and things in it as well. It's 50% off out of the gates as well. Ultra 12, 50% off. All of it and more, InfoWarsStore.com. Okay, let's go to Laura in France. Laura, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hello. Good evening, Alex. Good evening to you and your guest host. Just a couple of things. One, I think now is the time for Trump to, you know, Trump be president and just put an end to this. I mean, I understand he didn't do it before with all the Russian stuff in case people thought he was trying to cover up. Everybody knows he's covering up nothing. And now he has to stop these people. I mean, they're deranged. And apart from that, it just makes everyone think that people in America are crazy. I mean, you know, looking at Nancy Pelosi and these people are just, and Adam Schiff, I don't know how these people are still there, you know, and they're questioning people of good stature and undermining them. It just seems, it's like, it just seems crazy now. I mean, I can't believe that they're even getting away with this. Somebody needs to just step in and stop them.
Want to comment on that, Barnes?
Right, you want the sub clip. So you want him, the words, him saying this is war.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to get it.
Part of the clip.
Absolutely, we're going to get that.
Yeah, I think that was their confusion.
Sure, absolutely. But no, what the lady's saying. I'm going to go work on this. You take over, okay? Thanks. The caller. Thank you, ma'am. Can't talk to you. Got to go. Thanks. It's all right. We're good. Keep going. You're fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, I think the what's taking place and what's happening in the country. Do you have any further comment?
Yeah, well, I tell you the one thing that I wanted to say, and that was the other day. I know it's a slightly different topic. When Trump was with the Indian prime minister, you know, at his rally, I got a dreadful feeling at the end, you know, when he came up to him and took him around, as it were. You know, I could see there was a real feeling of happiness and joy there. But I wondered whether or not that wasn't planned. And I thought that was a great security risk there. I just sort of had a deja vu of something awful happening. And I just think probably it's not advisable, is it, to be in that, be put in that position again? You know, I doubt very much if it was planned. But do you know what I mean? When he went around the arena?
Yes, yes, I do. I mean, and I think it's Trump willing to be Trump at any cost or at any consequence. And I think he's sort of, once he got over Robert Mueller and defeated Mueller's efforts to sort of take him out, I think it gave him confidence that he needed to be himself, continue to be himself, no matter where it might lead with his opponents and his critics. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I think that what we're seeing is sort of the deep state doubling down, people who are his critics doubling down, people who want him out, doubling down, rather than stepping back and reassessing the political landscape in light of the loss of the Robert Mueller effort to take him out.
Well, you know, God bless him and all the people that follow him, because, you know, they have to be extra brave now, I think, to, you know, just get rid of all of these terrible, awful people. I mean, it's just incredible that it's still going on, and they're not speaking more about all the wonderful things that he's doing. Every time he's doing something good, they seem to kick off in the other area with something to get the newspapers on board, you know, on their side, talking about something that he's doing wrong. But I actually think now nobody believes a word of it, and it's about time some of the Democrats had some backbone and stood up and said, listen, we're not going along with this anymore. I mean, are they all that corrupt that there's blackmail on all of them, that none of them can say a word? Because that's what it looks like, doesn't it?
That is definitely what it looks like. And I think the reason it looks that way is that is, in fact, what the intelligence community's power has been over time. You've seen that the senators and the House members appointed to the Intelligence Committee, particularly in the Senate, on both political sides. Senator Burr is particularly problematic in the way he has handled that committee. I've had to deal with the Senate Intelligence Committee on behalf of Trump supporters. And what I can tell you is that in my experience with them, the Democrats run that committee even when the Republicans are nominally in charge. So your questions and comments are precisely on point. It reflects a disturbing and disconcerting pattern of behavior by the establishment Republicans in Washington and the establishment press, not to stand
with. Yeah, and Laura, you made some really good points. I was listening to you in there. I was in between things, working on getting this clip and getting it EQ'd. We've been able to fix the audio, so it's very, very clear. I was just listening to it. It's bombshell. He's calling them scum criminals. They're all scum. But of course, it's buried in an article about how he's intimidating people. This is bombshell. I mean, this is the president really going after him. This is what we'd expect to hear.
Absolutely.
So I had a little bit of an exciting freak out here, running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Because this is really historic, folks. I mean, we're fighting for the whole damn future of this country. Laura, thank you so much. We got John. We got Brad. We got Jay. We got Jeff. We got Barry. We got Alina. And guess what? Baggage understands I preempt. He's preempted. I'm taking over next hour. The full Trump speech. Oh, yeah, Chris Wallace, all these people are going to make their move on Trump because they think he's going down, and they're all scared. They don't want to be destroyed once he's gone. But here's the deal. Globalism's exposed. Their new world order, all their crimes are exposed. They're never going to get away with this anymore.
Oh, exactly.
They may take Trump out. They may take us out. I mean, listen, and I got to apologize to the crew and some of the stuff on air where I'm, like, flipping out, going, give me this clip, give me that clip. I was reading the transcript of what Trump said. I went and watched the video. I mean, I ran out of here for a few minutes, but I could hear the lady in the background, so I knew she was a good call. I've actually only had three cups of coffee today, but I am lit, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, wait till you hear Trump's speech that they surreptitiously recorded when he's talking to the diplomats next segment, the segment after that. Then Barnes is going to host the rest of the hour because I got to get a haircut, man. I'm like a hippie, but then I'm coming back after that. And I apologize to Nick Baggage, but he understands hosting the fourth hour. Sometimes we preempt it. He's a sweetheart. And so he'll be back with us next Friday. Barnes, this country's in a real war for its heart and soul. And people get upset about their football team losing or winning. I'm on the edge of my damn seat here. I mean, my heart rate's not really up, but my brain is just like speeding.
Well, as we were discussing with the last caller, after Trump beat back the Mueller effort, I think it gave him confidence to double down in his battles against the deep state and the Democratic corrupt elites to implement a truly democratizing American spirit of 1776 agenda for the whole world. And now he sees what the deep state is doing is they're doubling down. The Democratic elite, corrupt elites are doubling down on trying to take him out. Rather than recognizing that the failed effort of Mueller should have given them a warning signal and a warning sign, a stop sign to not go any further, they're going to doubly speed through that stop sign.
Listen to this. He added what appeared to be a thinly veiled threat. No, I mean, this is treason. It's not a threat.
Yeah.
You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? The spies and treason, we used to handle it differently than we do now. They are literally trying to bring the country down.
Absolutely. He's pointing out that you're trying to not only kill the king, you're trying to kill the people who elected that king. You're trying to kill the dream of the American experiment for the whole world. And he's not going to allow it to happen. And he's like, those people that keep coming for me and those people that keep coming for the American people and those people that keep coming for the American dream are going to face legal consequences.
Can you believe Trump is a maniac? I love it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it shows he's completely fearless. He learned the right lesson from the Mueller experiment, which was don't back down, don't apologize.
Well, that's what Stone's done in like 40-something years. He says, no, Trump isn't even courage. He's very fatalistic. He doesn't care.
Exactly.
Except about beating these people.
Well, it's what Nelson Mandela realized. Nelson Mandela used to sing himself a poem when he was in prison in South Africa, which is that he is the captain of his own fate. He's the master of his own destiny, based on an old English poem. And it's what it's based upon is it's self-empowerment. When you realize that the system cannot take you out, or if they can, you forfeit the fear connected to it, then that is incredibly empowering. You realize, I'm going to do what is right, because I no longer worry about the consequences of what I cannot control. And because of that, it's like what the God Footprints poem is all about. It's you give up worries about things you can't control, seize the things you can control, and do what's right and righteous regardless of the consequence.
I just hear people saying, oh, life's so boring. Oh, there's so many Netflix shows that are all boring. This country is in the middle of fighting for its life right now. Mm-hmm. And thank God they surreptitiously, record. He's up there on a big stage.
Well, maybe Trump even had himself leaked.
No, I'm sure.
He wanted to be able to say, well, this isn't my official statement, but this is really war. This is a call. This is a Paul Revere call to patriots to get together, to rally behind the president against the deep state, against the Democratic corruption in Congress, against the Democratic corrupt elites, against the corrupt media establishment that wants to lie and libel him on a routine and regular basis.
He calls him sick. He calls him scum. He says we're at war. He says it's treason. I mean, this is just over the top exciting. And I guess I've got to come in here and do an emergency Saturday show now and the Sunday show 4 to 6 p.m. And you've got the War Room coming up with Owen Schroyer. You've got Firepower. And I'm just begging listeners, begging viewers, we need to reach new people. I know you're doing that. But on your email, on your text message, your word of mouth, band.video, you can promote that all over the internet as well. I was going to air the Paul Watson interview with Crowder. Maybe we'll do that in the last segment of the hour, but also want to get to your phone calls. But when we come back, we are going to go right to Trump and to the speech to the U.S. diplomatic corps. Trump says we are at war against scum and traitors.
Who came along for the ride? Hey, you can't come inside.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
When I was in high school twice, I got convinced at parties to do a rail of methamphetamine. And I'd be up for 2 days and thought I was going to die. Threw up, said I'd never do it again, did it one more time, swore I'd never do it again, never did. Same thing, hate cocaine. I am naturally awake, but I can tell you right now, I feel like when I did a rail of methamphetamine when I was 16. I mean, I literally am just my brain is exploding right now with just the realization, but also the energy and the atmosphere politically, and how much danger this nation's in, and how truly evil the globalists are. And then Trump is up there swinging for the fences. We're about to play this video that's getting a little bit of attention. Oh, it's threats on whistleblowers. Well, what do you do when people are in your administration, lie about you, put out fake statements on what you did, you release the transcript, and they're from the CIA trying to undermine an elected president? It is treason. When we're in a war with China right now, corporate, economic, and spy. And so it's the facts. And I mean, I hate to use the drug analogy, Barnes, but I mean, how are you feeling right now?
Well, yeah, it's empowering to realize that the president of the United States is willing to stand up for the American people against these degrees of threats, of basically espionage, of extortion. That's the kind of behavior this leaker, this rat, this spy, this non-whistleblower was engaged
in. You know the awake feeling, though, you get when they call up, God forbid, and, you know, your mom's had a heart attack or something.
Yeah.
It's like that fully awake thing, but it's not even a good feeling. Well, you're saying energized, and you're saying you feel good. Man, I just am pissed that the general public doesn't realize what the situation we're in.
Well,
I mean, are you physiologically feeling this, or I guess you're just too calm?
I think there's an awakening across the board that the president is triggering that has continued. I mean, even the
so maybe we're feeling the fear of the enemy?
No, I think we're the awakening of the American people to the risk and the threat that exists, that has continued to exist. I think that to a lot, I mean, the term deep state was a term that many Americans had never even heard before President Trump.
Yeah, and now world government, communism, new world order, pedophile rings, it's all out in the open.
Exactly. He's awakening.
So actually, you're saying we're winning.
Exactly. Absolutely. In terms of the mindset of the American people, the threat is that those who hold and wield power unlawfully are going to continue to fight against.
But how crazy is it is that America's history, and now we've got a president like this, and it's just so incredible. And then like, I almost feel guilty. I've criticized Trump some.
Well, it's like living.
This is just. Ugh.
It's like being alive in 1775. That's what it's like. It's like being at a little bar, a little pub in Boston in 1775, and the Sons of Liberty are getting together and organizing to begin the first true democratic revolution in the history of the world. That's what it's like.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, all of us are empathetic, or at least if we've tuned into that, we are. And I'm very, I pick up what's going on.
Yeah.
And I mean,
wow.
I mean, you feel that energy right now?
Oh, I mean, and I think it's a great thing that it's great and risky at the same time. It'd be like being sitting with Martin Luther King in 1963 when you're about to go out on a march where you know you're going to get arrested and beaten. It's like that. You know the enemy is real, but you know the possibility of reform is real. And so both are sit right at the crossroads for everybody to take a chance. And so that's where we're at. And that's what the president's making clear to everybody. And it's probably a situation where he's leaking the tape himself because he wants people aware, but he wants people to be aware in a certain way.
Absolutely. We're going to get to your calls after we play this. It'll take this segment and the next. Here's Trump, closed-door gathering with U.S. diplomats in New York, attacked Democratic rival Joe Biden, disparaged whistleblower complaint, said we're at war, they're sick, sick people, they're scum, it's treason. Here it is.
You're going to be a star. And the only way you're a star, no matter how you look or feel or talk, is when you make good deals. Okay, I found that out over here. You gotta make good deals, otherwise it's over. And she's gonna make great deals. I was with her now for 3 days, and she's developed incredible relationships in a very short period of time. And we appreciate it. And you'll be out there. You'll be in the firing line today, for instance. I just heard, while I'm coming up here, you know, they have a whistleblower. Another whistleblower. He turned out to be a fake. He's a fake. Highly partisan whistleblower. The lawyers contributed to Biden. They contributed. The whole thing is, but more importantly, you know what the whistleblower was? The same letter that we announced yesterday, which was perfect. I couldn't have written it better if I wrote it myself. I could not have said or had a better conversation. And we had a really nice gentleman in the president of Ukraine yesterday. And he was good. And they said, was he pressuring you? You know, these animals in the press. They're animals. Actually, some of the worst human beings you'll ever meet.
Thank you.
Thank you. Scum. Many of them are scum. And you have some good reporters, but not many. I'll be honest with you. But, and that's one of the things we battle. And you'll find out. But they'll probably like you better than they'll like me. But I had to get us here, right?
Right.
But they're total, just terrible, dishonest people. And they couldn't figure out, what did we say bad about this conversation? Then it turns out that they had senators, Democrat senators, that went over there and strong-armed the guy. You better damn well do this or you're not going to get any money from Congress. Oh, I see. That's okay. And then you have Sleepy Joe Biden, whose numbers are locked. This guy was dumb on his best day. And he's not having his best day right now. He's dumb as a rock. So you have Sleepy Joe, and he goes up, and his kid, who's got a lot of problems, got thrown out of the Navy for problems. I mean, look, I'm not going to, it's a problem. That's a problem. So we won't get into why and all that. But he got thrown out of the Navy. And now this kid goes into Ukraine, walks away with millions of dollars, and he becomes a consultant for $50,000 a month. And he doesn't know anything compared to anybody in this room, okay? He's a stiff. He knows nothing. He's walking away with $50,000, or as you would say in the old days, $50,000 a month. Not bad. Would anybody else in this room like to represent the Ukraine for $50,000? That's on top. You got the top. That's on top of hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. But that's not the best one. The best one is China. This came up. So now he goes to China, and I was with the head of Blackstone, which is the big deal, Steve Schwarzman. I said, Steve, is that possible? No. Why? Who got that? Who took that? I said, Biden's son. Oh. Well, then, you know, he says, maybe I should be involved. You know, if it was very political, right? I say, Steve, what happens when you come off a vice presidential plane, it's called Air Force Two, your father's with you, you walk into a room in China, and they give you a fund of $1.5 billion. You make hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars off that. And that's probably not all they gave. They gave me plenty more, I'm sure. We might never find out. And then they talk about me, and I didn't do anything. I don't know if I'm the most innocent person in the world. But, you know, you look at that, most presidential. Like I said, I'm the most presidential except for possibly Abe Lincoln when he wore the hat. That was tough to beat. Honest Abe, when he wore that hat, that was tough to beat. But I can't do that. That hat wouldn't work for him. I have better hair than But Honest Abe, it was tough to beat. Remember we used to do that during the campaign? They used to say, when I speak, the crowd would be crazy. I'd go crazy. We'd all go crazy. We'd have a lot of fun together, right? We'd have 25,000. We've never had an empty seat. From the day I came down the escalator with a potential unbelievable woman who became a first lady. The crowds love her, the people love her, but we've never had an empty seat, not one. I really believe that. There was one case where we had a tremendous snowstorm. It was just about frozen, massive. It was like a monstrous storm. I don't even know how I got there. I said, how's the crowd? It's just about full, sir. I said, what does that mean? Like, there's like two seats on top. Thousands and thousands of people couldn't get there. So they show pictures of the empty seats. They don't say this is the worst storm they've had in years. They show pictures of like 9 empty seats. There could have been people.
All right, this is supposedly surreptitious video. It really gets good when we come back from break and then your calls. But understand, folks, Barnes is smart, because I hadn't watched the whole video. Now I've been watching it. Trump keeps looking over at the camera, and the person's not hiding it. So this, they're acting like it was surreptitious, like, oh, we got him on the dirt. That's just Bloomberg spin. No, Trump wanted this out, and it's powerful, and he calls them scum, says they're guilty of treason, and more when we come back. Infowars.com/show. And please don't forget ban.video. They hope you don't share that link. All the videos the scumbag deep state doesn't want you to see are at ban.video. Please spread that link. All right, we're back live. I'm going to cut through this liner and get right to it. Some Barnes will be here for two more segments taking your calls. Everybody that's patiently holding, Brad, Jay, Jeff, Bob, John, Anthony, Alina, Barry, thank you for being here on this Friday edition. Then the War Room with Owen Schroeder is coming up. Then, of course, Firepower with Will Johnson and Tom Papper. And we thank you all, listeners and viewers. This is all a team effort here. Nobody is in the bleachers. We're all in the arena. Let's go back to this astounding so-called behind-the-scenes thing with Trump talking to the diplomatic corps. Here it is.
But we've never, and I always say, just to get the biggest arena. Good location if you can, but get the biggest arena. We did it the other night, Tuesday night. We had two congressmen. One was possibly going to win. He was up by two. He won by about 27, I think, or something like that. A lot. The other one was down by 17, and they said, sir, don't campaign for him, please. Why? Because if he loses, they're going to kill you, the press. I said, they're going to kill me whether I campaign or not. Sorry. It'll make it a little bit worse. You know, they'll say he worked and he failed. Trump failed. The guy was down 17 points, and he ended up winning by a lot. You know, he ended up winning by a lot. In fact, the whole night, CNN, we built the most beautiful $2 million maybe they spent. No wonder they're losing the rest. They have no ratings, and they're building studios all over the place. But they had a studio. The studio was going to stay up for weeks. And toward the end of the night, they were taking it down. The so-called stars were leaving. They had stars. There aren't many stars up there. They have less than stars. But they were taking the stars, were leaving. And they didn't want to report it. But the candidate, David Bishop, won by a lot. He was down by 17, and they had lines a mile long. I mean, the lines going into those voting booths were unbelievable. And without the rally speech and a couple of tweets, the Twitter stuff is good. We have, like, way over 100 million people on six or seven different platforms. It's actually much higher than that, even higher than just about everybody. And it helps. It helps. They have signs oftentimes when I speak. It said, please keep this woman the other night, beautiful woman, she's got a sign. Please keep tweeting, sir, it matters. And it does matter, because we get our voice out. You know, if we don't do that, we don't get the voice. I can't say what a great job Kelly's doing, and I can't say what a wonderful husband she has. Look at how devoted he is. He's a rich man, too. He's loaded. What are you doing here? Why are you working? He's so proud of his wife, he can't leave his office. That's really great, though, huh? It's good. Are you proud of him? He said, very much. And he's really a fantastic guy. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. Before I met Kelly, I met Joe. And Joe impressed me because of his knowledge of energy. Now, he could be paid. Okay. You're going to pay a guy $50,000? Now, he wouldn't take it. For him, that's not quite good enough, although he might. He might. It's easy money, Joe, you have to say, right? But he would be an expert of energy. He'd be a real expert, and he would be somebody that you spare a lot of money to, but not Biden's son. So the whistleblower came out and said, nothing. Said, a couple of people told me he had a conversation with Ukraine. We're in a war. These people are sick. They're sick. And nobody's called it out like I do. I don't understand. People are afraid to call it out. They're afraid to say that the press is crooked. We have a crooked press. We have a dishonest media. So now they're devastated, but they'll always find something. I'm sure there'll be something they'll find in this report that will suit their eye. But basically, that person never saw the report, never saw the call, really never saw the call, heard something, and decided that he or she, whoever the hell it is, sort of like almost a spy. I want to know who's the person that gave the whistleblower. Who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? With spies and treason, right? We used to handle it a little differently than we do now. Now you have guys like little Adam Schiff defending you. Little Adam. And he says, that's all that. That name's stuck. Now he's always got a neck. It's about this big. And he's got shirts that are too big because you can't buy shirts that small. He was never a coal miner here. Let's put it that way. I don't think he worked in the mines. Do you think? I don't think so. These miners come out. We love our miners. So they come out. They have hands on them. They shake. I love you, sir. I love you, sir. But we gave them back their jobs. They were dead. And, you know, Hillary came in just before West Virginia. She says, no, we want the miners. We're going to retrain them. And they'll be doing. Can you imagine a miner with, you know, massive arms, shoulders, they love what they're doing, sticking in a line, little tiny widgets. They're putting little tiny computer parts together. This big, strong, and they don't want to be doing that. And I said to him, it's the only time they ever got angry at me, I said to him, fellas, supposing, is there any truth? Supposing we take you out of that business and we do retrain you and you go into technology, okay? They almost threw up all over the place. And it's a funny thing, you know, to me I call it dangerous and rough stuff, but it's become much safer. In Australia now, they have no black lung disease. They've really got all of that dust out of there. They've done a fantastic job of copying that system. We give credit where credit is due. But it's incredible. But, you know, they were talking about retraining these guys. By the way, I was thinking about it too. I'd walk in and I look at these big, rough guys. They said, no, they don't want to do that. And I said, well, would you want that? Would you want any retraining? And the one guy looks at me and says, sir, my great-grandfather was a miner. My grandfather, my father, and I'm a miner, and we love our life. We want to dig coal. That's what we want to do, sir. We don't want anything else. We want to just dig coal. It's true. You couldn't, if I said, I'm going to give you an apartment on Fifth Avenue, you come with me, you're going to have a great time in New York, they would say, no, thank you. It's just the way it is, you know. That's their life. That's what they want. They love it. They don't want to do anything different, and I understand it. I'm the only fool that decided to do something. I had a great life. Then I said, let's run for president and scream this country out. And we've been hit harder than anybody in history.
Great job.
No rich guy's ever going to run for politics, I can tell you. If anybody did this, I don't think they're going to run. But I love doing it. And I guess I love it because we've made so much progress, and you're really a big part of it. And you know our deputy permanent representative, Ambassador Jonathan Cohen, maybe here. Jonathan, where's Jonathan? Is he here? I hear it's everybody's saying what a good job he's doing. So, Jonathan, thank you. Good luck. Do well. You got plenty to work hard, Jonathan. We have plenty of, I call them, points of confliction, right? Points of confliction. But you don't realize how important you are. What you do, you make it all possible. And I've always said about the United Nations, it has more potential than any institution that I've ever dealt with. It really does. It hasn't lived up to its potential. It's starting to more. I think one of the reasons it is because I feel that way. I will use the United Nations to our benefit as a country. And because I'm doing it, others are doing it, and we're sort of getting together and doing things differently. And Nikki did a great job, and Kelly's going to do a great job. And it's very important. This position is so important. So important. It's another thing that I think was underrated, that the importance of your position. I think it was very underrated. But you have the right person in that position. But the United Nations is going to finally live up to its potential. It's really got something. And I like your Secretary General. He's really working hard. He's always on the ball. He's always there if you need him. I really like him. So I think he has, I think he has the stuff, the right stuff.
Video from the President of the United States. We'll talk more about it on the other side of the break and take your calls. So stay with us on the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
I really like him, so I think he has, I think he has the stuff. The right stuff, as they say, right? You know, as they say, a couple of very good movies. But I just came over this morning. I wanted to thank you. I wanted to congratulate you. I wanted to congratulate Jonathan and Kelly. And I didn't know Joe was going to be here, but I'm happy to see you, Joe. And you folks are fantastic. And just keep it going. We've got it really rocking. We're looking good. We're looking good for another 4 years. And then we drive them back. Reporters, and I say, we're looking good for another 4 years, and then if we want to, another four, maybe another five. And they go crazy. Just watch out, Bill Maher. He goes and looks at somebody, and then he goes, you know he's going to win, don't you? To some idiot that he's interviewing. He says, you know he's going to win. No, I think we can. You know he's going to win. And you know he's not leaving, don't you? The guy's going, what do you mean? He's not leaving. He's not leaving after. And I thought he was kidding. He's being serious. So, did anybody ever see the Time magazine? Well, we have it. 2020, 2024, 2028, 2032. In other words, we do that to drive them freaking crazy. So, I just want to thank you. Congratulations to Kelly and Jonathan and everybody in this room. You make it work, and it's so important, and it's called world peace, and we got to have it. We'll have it. We're going to have it. We have a lot of good things going, tremendous things. Problems with India and Pakistan being problems with North Korea. We're doing all right. We have a pretty good relationship going there. I'll tell you, we have a good relationship going. But we have a lot of great things going, and you make it possible. Thank you very much, everybody.
His internal staff at the United Nations saying we're at war. We're at war with the deep state. We're at war with democratic elites. We're at war with the political establishment that wants to continue to corrupt the country. A good reaction to all of this is by John Voight, a Hollywood actor who has continually supported the president and a prominent public personality. Let's go to his video now, reacting to the Trump's video, realizing that, in fact, and recognizing that, in fact, we are at war with the deep state.
War. This is war against truths. This is a war against the highest noble man who has defended our country and made us safe and great again. Let me stand with our president. Let us all stand with our President Trump in a time of such evil words, trying for impeachment. This is a crime that the left are trying to force. This is a disgrace by such ignorant followers that have no truth of what truly has been brought back to our country. We have gained greatness. We have gained jobs. We have gained more than any president has promised. This radical left are destructive. Their codes of what is supposed to be are corrupt with lies, deceits, and anger. And we ask why. We ask, how can a human being have such anger toward the greatness of our country's glory? I'll tell you why. Because for so long, their anger has been growing, and with such deep pain, with no open heart of loving and seeing the truth. The truth of what truly matters is the productivity of what was promised, and what we, the American people of the United States, were promised and have received. And what does the radical left do for such greatness? They want to destroy. They want civilization to be run like a corrupt ring. I say, stand now with Trump. Let truth prevail. And may God show all the truth, that we are truly a nation stronger because of our president. The left are afraid, for their power is lessening with every deal that is accomplished by Donald Trump. In the name of God and his power for this nation, let us stay strong and without such evil among us. God bless.
It could not have been better said by John Voight in defense of the president, as the president himself talked about today, that we're at war with the deep state. A war that they are waging and the radical left is waging and that the democratic political establishment is waging against truth, against honesty, against honor, against the spirit of 1776. So in that same spirit, let's go to one of our callers, Brad from Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Robert. I totally agree. My feeling is it's really the CIA that's behind this, and it's a weaponized media. They have that. They've got that weapon at their disposal. They've been at war with the American people and honest presidents since JFK. They killed him, flat out killed him. We've never dealt with that. And that's, if you have another honest president, and this is probably the first one in a long time, then that's what you're going to run up against. And since he's been elected, they've been on the offensive to keep him off balance and never to let him get comfortable. And this is just an extension of that at every turn. And now with the election coming up, 2020, this is their first or another attempt to undermine him. What's your feeling about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the Kennedy assassination sort of broke the American public's virgin minds of civic book version of American history and American politics and American power. And what happened is when that happened, there was a shock that the American public has never fully come to terms with. A realization and a recognition that something was deeply AWOL and deeply amiss in the powers that be that had entrenched themselves in institutional power. The doctrine of the deep state originates from a doctrine called the dual state in political science, which was originated by a pretty conservative editor for The Economist back in the middle of the 19th century to explain the dichotomy of a government that was unresponsive to the people and unresponsive to elections, and yet could continually wield power for its own policy prerogatives and priorities. And he came up with the idea that there was really a dual state, one state that was elected, another state that was unelected, that could continue to exercise power without regard to the elected will of the public. That doctrine was further established by German political science professors in the 1930s who escaped Germany to try to explain the rise of fascism, not only in Germany, but in Italy and other countries. And their articulation and understanding of it, including the rise of communism to a certain degree, was the power of a dual state to accomplish these kind of anti-democratic objectives. And so they expanded and deepened the understanding of the dual state. This was further expanded by studies of the United States State Department in the 1950s, which culminated in Eisenhower's famous speech and his departure speech in 1961. Too bad he didn't have the courage to give that speech a little earlier when it might have some more meaning, but it was still impactful for the purposes of historic legacy, where he said a military-industrial complex was being built up. And what he was referencing was the dual state that had been uncovered in the studies of the State Department, where people were allowed to promulgate and propagate policies against the will of the elected politicians and the elected interest of the ordinary everyday voter. That ultimately reflected itself in the assassination of John Kennedy, which has been continually unexplained by the official version in ways that don't meet evidentiary standards. That was continued further in the assassination of Martin Luther King and the assassination of Robert Kennedy, which further destabilized the public's confidence in our institutions and whether our institutions were really recognizing and respecting the power of the ordinary people. Then that culminated further in Nixon and Watergate scandal, which what it really unveiled wasn't Watergate itself, which was, in fact, a second-rate burglary, but was more what was happening by the people who took Nixon out. This included Mark Felt, Deep Throat, who was actually what the media has constantly hidden. I had a conversation with Ben Bradley, the Washington Post editor at the Washington Post, some years ago about this precise topic before it was known, that I argued with Mr. Bradley that the real reason why he and Bob Woodward and others were hiding the identity of Deep Throat wasn't to protect his impregnability, but that he wasn't a real whistleblower, that in fact he was likely a corrupt agent within the FBI who was mad that Nixon was trying to de-Hooverize the FBI. Later that became confirmed and true when Mark Felt's name was revealed as Deep Throat, who actually was the man who invented COINTELPRO and ran COINTELPRO to spy on Americans. Now we have another fake whistleblower, an actual rogue CIA agent, connected allied party to John Brennan, trying to take down the elected president in the United States to continue to put in the deep state's agenda. So when we come back on the other half of this segment, let's get into Paul Joseph Watson's interview with Steven Crowder and the continuous effort of big tech, big media, the big state to undermine democratic freedoms and liberties here in America. You're in the Alex Jones on the InfoWars show.
His website is summit.news and more recently band.video. Mr. Paul Joseph Watson, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Stephen. How's it going?
Terribly. Now, your hair is short, so that's cool.
Yeah, I had a bit of a dodgy haircut, so it had to be cleaned up. So.
Why are you always
not always great for the videos?
But you insist on having the old sort of mop top with the cigarette in a lot of your display pictures. Is that just because, you know, that looks like...
That's the classical fashy haircut. That's what the media says. In fact, The Guardian wrote an article the other day saying they were afraid of Ivanka Trump's new haircut. So they're literally terrified by haircuts at this point. That's the level of the derangement syndrome.
Well, how?
But yeah, I tried to go floppy on top and with the short sides back and sides. So that's a normal fashy look.
How are they afraid of Ivanka's haircut?
They said that it proves that she's trying to rebrand herself to be more credible because she's about to run for office, so they're terrified.
Oh, okay. So they're scary because they think she could hold office as opposed to holding sway over the most powerful office in the land as we see right now. We see her fingerprints all over it sometimes, which, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm not the biggest fan of. Mr. Paul Joseph Watson, this kind of ties in with your website, band.video, and we just talked about, we sort of exposed some of the new YouTube changes with verified profiles and how difficult this has been. But you were telling me this all ties in together. Your video on Greta Thunberg, by the way, you Europeans, you're closer together. Like, you're as far away from Sweden as Florida is from California, approximately. I have no idea. Is it Thunberg? Thunberg?
I mean, I heard an actual Swedish person pronounce it as something like Greta Thunberg. Oh, so I'm not even going to try to appropriate that.
That's way
so
off.
I'm going for Greta Thunberg.
No, well, we don't care about the Swedes. What we can just do is we can start a war and watch them do nothing.
Yeah.
So your video, the one, Little Greta, we'll call her Little Greta, it was removed from YouTube entirely, if I'm not mistaken.
Completely, yeah. And a warning on the channel, you tend not to... Now, I tend not to make a big deal out of these things because it's just like a red flag to a bull, and then a bunch of people go and try and flag all your other videos to get others deleted. But yeah, it was a video that was on the channel for about 2 weeks, had almost 1 million views. They banned it, they removed it for bullying and harassment. Now, the worst thing I did in that video, bearing in mind that Susan Wojcicki says, yes, we welcome offensive content, as if they actually do that.
Yeah.
The worst thing I said was to compare her style of messaging and her appearance to some kind of children of the corn situation, which, funnily enough, is what Laura Ingraham did on her Fox News show the other night.
Yeah, plus she has a scary haircut. 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was up for about 2 weeks, banned. I appealed it over 2 weeks ago. No response over 2 weeks later. And, yeah, it's still on BitChute, but it's permanently gone. And then, obviously, this disincentivizes you criticizing her again. I could re-upload the video and remove a couple of the slightly edgy insults. This is it would be a legal adult in the UK who constantly talks about having Asperger's or being on the autism spectrum. But if you say that, as Michael Knowles did on Fox News, and they caved in and apologized, he called her mentally ill. Even though Asperger's is a, quote, neurological disorder, it is a mental illness. So if she's making that part of her messaging and we can't even reference it, that's a double standard, right?
Right. And I do always love having you on because, you know, across the pond, cultural differences, and you may be vexed as to why the spokesperson, I don't want to indict all of Fox News, the spokesperson said that and walked back. That's because that person at Fox is what we call here stateside is a pussy. So I want to make sure that we're clear. Yeah, I don't think Michael Knowles said anything wrong. And I try to be as objective as possible. You know, there are some people who it's like, oh, when you start talking about Hitler and saying like, oh, it's not really good to invoke his name, even if you're trying to say maybe some national policy was good. Like, you veered into it. Michael Knowles said nothing wrong. For people who missed the story, you know, it was trending. It was a flash in the pan. It was trending for a few minutes because someone at Media Matters got a bug in their panty. I don't know if that's the term. That was my Obama equivalent to wee-weed up. I just made it up. They got a thorn in their side.
A good one.
Got stuck in their craw. The point is, I don't know what my point was, but Michael Knowles did nothing wrong in pointing out that she has Asperger's. And by the way, this is important to remember. Greta Thunberg, however they say it,
Thunberg,
is the same age as the Covington school kids. Now, people say, well, they were kind of dicks. First off, I don't agree with it. Second, they were thrust into the media spotlight against their will. Greta chose it. And so I think that opens one up to valid criticism. And if they're an adult of age, some ad hominem in good fun.
Well, this is the point, isn't it, Stephen? Because the left exploits these children as human shields for their agenda. And then they say, oh, by the way, they're beyond question. They then ban and cancel culture people who dare challenge them. And they did the same with David Hogg. A bunch of videos on YouTube, a bunch of channels got taken down when people started challenging what David Hogg was saying. But of course, if it's a 16-year-old conservative kid in a MAGA hat smirking, then they're fair game for the media to ruin their entire life.
Right.
There was another guy yesterday called Avi Yemeni. You probably heard of him.
Yeah, I know. He did the Jim Jefferies thing. He was on the show.
Yeah,
he was banned. He's gone. He's done on Twitter for saying Greta is being exploited by the people around her and saying, quote, she had an extremist message. Completely banned. His account's gone. It's not coming back. So again, they use the intimidation tactic of this deplatforming system that they've set up and this cancel culture system to shield their political propaganda, to use children as human shields. And it's insidious, and it keeps happening over and over again.
Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I think I have that one right. And
yeah,
human
close
shields,
enough.
Children as shields, Hamas. They're not too far off. So birds of a feather. I'm just going to go on with all of these.
Just keep going.
Be careful what you wish for. Look before you leap. Now that's just Aesop's fables. Those aren't idioms. These are just morals to horrible fairy tales. And it's not a fairy tale. It's a fable.
The other aspect of this, in using those kids as human shields, they're also traumatizing an entire generation of young people. A lot of psychologists in the UK are talking about this now. This new new phenomenon of climate anxiety or eco-anxiety, where children are literally being told that everyone's going to be dead in 12 years. Of course, we know that's abject nonsense. Even one of the head authors of the IPCC report for the UN, Miles Allen, called out Greta the other day for being alarmist because, of course, there's this whole debate about a 1.5 degree warming by 2040. Of course, there are a bunch of other factors they don't even take into account in that. But again, they're literally traumatizing kids, dragging them to protests. They're crying in the streets, thinking their parents, their friends and themselves are going to be dead within 12 years. When even the IPCC report says, well, maybe the problems will start in 12 years. And of course, AOC echoed this with her Green Deal thing.
Right.
But the thing that gets
me is Green Deal thing. I appreciate that you are so dismissive because I think it was a young term. Like, why don't you want to do the Green New Deal? Because it's five pages and it has an addendum that says, and social justice for all. That's why. It's silly.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing is, again, these are some of the same people who fear-mongered about a new ice age in the 70s, you know, Newsweek, Time magazine. They told us, people like Paul Ehrlich, that overpopulation will lead to mass starvation. That was the dominant consensus scientific opinion for years and years in the late 70s. None of it happened, so why should we believe them now? And then it's the hypocrisy of it that stenches. She's palling around with Arnold Schwarzenegger, a dude who literally has a garage full of muscle cars and tanks. You know, she's palling around with Leonardo DiCaprio, a dude who takes private jets to collect environmental awards. Prince Harry's up there on the stage with her. He took four private jet trips in 11 days. He wasn't on a mission to save the planet. He was partying at Elton John's mansion. But here I am, you know, like washing out my jam jars and recycling my plastic Evian bottles. I'm taking a handful of commercial plane trips a year, but I'm bad. And I need to be lectured. Forget about India and China. They're fine.
Well, to be fair, Prince Harry was, I mean, he was, there was a two-for-one special at Bosley. Now, let me ask, you mentioned this with YouTube, and we're going to go to Web Extended in a few minutes. Have you been following the changes here with YouTube since they've now said that they're going to try to direct people toward verified accounts? And we've talked about this where if just earlier, you probably didn't see it, where if you search our video name with my name, it doesn't show up. You'll see other channels before. And this didn't happen before, and of course we've never received any answer from YouTube. It's getting to be pretty severe, and now, of course, I don't know if you've read about this or what you're expecting from the new harassment policy that should be forthcoming, but that's very scary to me.
I didn't read about the new harassment policy, and that's going to get them in trouble based on the fact that some of the biggest creators on YouTube are drama people who literally pick fights and in some cases stage fights with each other and have these back and forth insults and of course boxing matches and everything else.
Right.
And that's the entire basis of their channel. And these people have got upwards of 10 million subscribers, some of them. So they're going to have problems with that. The thing about the search and the YouTube election blacklist, which you tweeted about, I checked your channel about an hour ago, and I think maybe because you made a big deal out of it, it's gone back and it's flipped back, where if you do search Steven Crowder changed my mind, your videos do come up.
Mm.
For the past, I would say, probably 4 to 6 months, you can go on Google itself, of course Google owns YouTube, search my name, Paul Joseph Watson YouTube. For the past 4 to 6 months, not only was my channel like buried down the first page or on page two, it was not even returned on Google search results. This is a channel with over 1.7 million subscribers. They completely buried it. They broke their own search engine just so people couldn't find my channel.